Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave up jobs, the security, the show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show today.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. The contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. Here's our staff announcer to tell you more.
Hi, I'm Pete Johnson, the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike Show. You like breath? How about some nice cooter? Would you get a flash looking at some gash and join Don and Mike in their Las Vegas-style show? The big show is tonight. It's a Fabled State Theater in Portland, Maine. You got to be 21 to get in. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Like TNA, like B&B, come to the show. Condoms optional. For the Don and Mike Show, I'm Pete Johnson.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
Now go F yourself.
Don't miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
The mantra.
Yeah, it's the mantra for CBS Radio.
Sure.
I hate this place.
Me too, man.
Nothing works here.
Tell me about it. The equipment sucks.
Been here for 7 years.
I've been here 10.
Nothing works here.
I know. Things suck here.
I hate this place.
Me too. I'm with you, brother.
Nothing works here.
I know. I hear you.
I hate this place.
Us too.
Nothing works here.
Right. There he is.
The Don and Mike Show.
I have a message for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Your pussy smells like garbage.
Hi.
Tickle the Duke. Tickle the Duke. Useless prick. Bite my left nipple. Ass wipe.
Hi.
Go, Bob. On my knob. Ass munch.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
You're the son of a beast.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know to fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Does she have the door, or do we have the door?
I don't know. I don't know either. You want to play the door? Come on now, queer bait.
Hold on.
We're going to start the show.
Technically, we haven't started it yet because we haven't opened the door yet.
We're supposed to be in here in Maine.
There's the door.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Portland, Maine's favorite son and the son of God.
Yes.
Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You know, I got a frantic call from Phil this very morning.
Really? What did he say?
Well, he called me on the air phone in Plain, and he said that he finally bought some season tickets for the XFL. Go Hitman!
Bang!
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Queerbait and all the ships at sea. Remember, you can't spell Portland, Maine without D and M.
Ah!
So, live from WZAN, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. It's a new episode here on
Friday,
May 11, and, well, our dreams have finally come true. We are broadcasting from
Portland, Maine.
It is a dream come true to be in this fine city here in this fine studio in this fine place.
I know for a lot of people the dream is to make it to a major market or to make it as we have to New York City. But no, for us, the goal has always been
broadcast from the Pine Tree Stage
to come and fly into the Portland International
Jetport.
Jetport. It's not an airport. It's a jetport.
Yeah, because recently they got jets.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here in Portland, Maine, which, shocking, except for the green trees,
yes,
looks just like Wichita, Kansas.
It does indeed. And once again, in a smaller city than Washington, D.C., with a better facility.
Yeah, nicer equipment here at radio station WZAN, where the motto is, come, smoke in our alley. We were standing out back
right
before the show, meeting with, I guess this place has like a million program directors.
Yeah. I've met 15 program directors while we've been here.
Wow. Meeting with another one of the program directors, and she said to us, wow, you know, we picked your show up 5 years ago. We had to fight to get the show, and look at you guys now. You're big, gigantic, huge stars. And Rob said, yes, look at what stars we are. We're standing in your alley smoking.
Yes, in the alley right near the trash cans.
Right. That's where we were. Well, that's where we're comfortable. And, in fact, we are here in Portland, Maine. Lisa, hit that music, please, because we have a live Las Vegas-style show tonight at the State Theater in downtown Portland. And here's the lineup tonight for the live show. Oh, live show we'll have.
Yeah.
The Nude Family Feud, or at least the semi-nude family feud. I'm not exactly sure about the local ordinances. I know that Charlie was telling me today that in his briefcase when he came up here,
yes,
he had 40 G-strings and something like 80 pasties.
We will adhere to all local standards, as is the norm when we go on the road.
You know, we keep praying that one of these times when we go through an airport, they're going to go through Broyhill's bag.
Right.
Just so they open it up and they see that he's traveling with 40 G-strings and 80 pasties.
Then he will officially get the name Queerbait.
So tonight is the nude feud. Also, I think Homo Joe is up here, so we'll probably have the Homo Joe challenge for you.
Flying on his own dime because, of course, he of the Campbell Soup fortune.
And, of course, the world-famous underwear fashion show. We should hit the stage, I'd say, no later than, what do you think, 10 o'clock tonight?
Right.
Now, we'll be on stage shortly after 8 o'clock tonight at the State Theater in downtown Portland, which I believe is about as old as Buzz's left nut.
Yes, it is a very old theater, but we understand a beautiful place to see a show, and apparently there's been a tremendous amount of interest here in Portland, Maine, to come out and see our little tricksters.
It's like a Phantom of the Opera type place, right? It's got a big Wurlitzer organ or something like that in it.
It was a classic movie palace of the 1920s.
And I heard that when you turn all the lights off in that theater, it's very scary.
Very scary. So we'll be there tonight. If you live in Portland, Maine, please come on out. It'll be a good show. And we're all hoping that Mike's relative,
yes,
his famous relative, the dog catcher of Portland, Maine.
No, he ran for Congress.
Oh, wow. I understand that he is the number one gynecologist in all of Maine.
No, that's another cousin who's the doctor. I've got lots of family up here. I'm filled with mixed emotions.
There's one guy that Mike's related to.
Mm-hmm.
And who is it? It's the guy who
my
ran.
My cousin Teddy.
And he's the guy who ran for what office?
Congress.
Ran for Congress. Lost.
Yes, and he has, I have not contacted him. He has not contacted me, but he does live here, and if our paths cross, it would be good to see him. But I think, you know, like most of my family, like my extended family, my immediate family, when I am coming into a town with our merry band,
they turn their cheek the other way.
Well, you heard what the general manager said.
Yeah, the general manager, who incidentally is a dead ringer for Eugene Levy.
Yes, he is. He said to me that he had lunch with my cousin, and it said, are you related to Mike O'Mara, who does the show on WZN? And he turned and said, that's my cousin.
You know, he said he turned his head down.
Looked down and said, that's my cousin.
Looked down.
Yeah, well, you know, being the embarrassment to my family that I am, I hope that they all come out en masse and show up.
No offense to your cousin, the mighty Teddy, who's always ready.
I think Teddy's very proud of me, actually. He's the one in the family who has sent me emails and has corresponded with me.
Let me just say, out of all the O'Maras that I know,
mm-hmm,
you're the winner. Okay?
Here, here.
Okay? Mike, you're a winner.
Don't get me started.
You're a winner in life.
Don't get me started. I'm going to get emotional.
You're a winner on this show.
Yes.
You're a winner in the political arena that matters.
Thank you, man.
The political arena of life.
Oh, boy.
Unlike your cousin, the dog catcher.
That is a wonderful, wonderful compliment. I appreciate that.
And I'd love to see your cousin, Theodore, tonight.
Yes. Yes.
At the State Theater.
Well, who knows? I'm sure this will get back to him, so if he's listening, come on out and see the show.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, everywhere we've gone, Mike is not the most famous O'Mara in Portland, Maine.
It's
his,
I'm not.
It's his cousin Theodore.
Right.
And so I says, I says to Mike before the show, I said to Mike, so he ran for office and he lost. What does he do now?
He works, I think, for the newspaper here in town.
Which would, I would think, would guarantee that we'd get a fabulous front page article tomorrow.
And
right?
I looked you in the eye and I said, yeah, sure.
Yeah, not a chance.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Not a chance.
I don't know if we've had any advance press since we've been here. I, you know, sometimes in the local newspapers they normally have a little blurb, but I'm not sure whether we've gotten any coverage.
Well, you would think with a blood relative working at the newspaper, we would get something.
I haven't been in contact, so it's really my fault. I should have said, you know, please write a favor. Well, he doesn't, you know, he's not a reporter, so he works, I think, in marketing, so I haven't been able to.
Still, he's got
to
have some pull, but I can understand.
I cannot handle this pressure. I'm going to implode now. I am going to have a nervous breakdown right now.
I understand why he's got a problem with you, why he puts his head down, why he didn't write a glowing article about his famous cousin coming to town, because because frankly you're the famous cousin, and he's the guy who ran for
stop it, don't put down my cousin.
No, listen, he ran for a male inspector up
now,
here,
please,
and he didn't win.
Please, can we get on another subject?
He ran to be the president of the Kiwanis Club.
I have nothing to throw at you right now.
The Knights of Columbus. He wanted to be the head guy at
there we go.
Don't throw stuff at me.
All right.
He wanted to be the head guy at the Water Buffalo Lodge, and he lost the election.
Okay.
Okay. What, you got to throw tape at me?
Put tape on your mouth in a second. You.
He ran for county agent. He didn't. He didn't make it.
County agent.
I'm running out of things he can run for.
I know. He's an ombudsman. There you go. Fantastic.
But anyway, if you're out there, Ted, come to the show.
Please do.
Be nice to see a famous O'Mara. Another famous O'Mara at the show tonight.
Sure. Well, you know, it's in the genes. Fame is in the genes, Don.
And I don't know.
And right now, after that second piece of pizza, my genes are very full.
I really don't know what to expect tonight. They've told us that there's lots of response to this, but frankly, we've had very busy shows the last couple of weeks, and we haven't really pounded this appearance home tonight, so who knows how many folks. The place seats, what, about 1,500, Rob?
Yeah, 1,600.
What do we get, 1,500?
What are we here, 1,500
people?
Well, I sure hope we sell the joint out, because with
we sell it out, being as we don't charge anything to get in.
I hope we fill it, because with recent shows, I mean, this would be the smallest number in the last three Las Vegas-style shows that we've done, so that would be great.
But I think it's incredible pressure on you, being as your cousin is a pillar of the community.
Yes.
A man who ran for office and was defeated.
Yeah.
I think that puts more pressure on you. As a matter of fact,
I was so scary convinced that this line of subject matter was closed.
On the O'Mara family crest, that's where all the pressure is.
I was so sure that we had moved past this, and then you circled back again and entered the subject again.
So you know me, though.
So how was your flight?
You should know this.
Yes, the more I protest,
the more I want to go out.
I understand, but see, I've protested already, so now it's over.
Okay.
It's over for me right now. Good night. We're here all week.
Okay, so the show tonight, who knows what's going to happen. We'll have a report for you. Hopefully, at some point, folks from Portland will call us and tell us they're coming to the show. Now, this is where we're at a bit of a disadvantage today, although the equipment here and the studios are 20 to 100 times more beautiful than our studios at home.
Amen. Beautiful facility. And it's another one of those buildings where they have, what, 300, 400 radio stations in one building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, the one thing that I don't have here is the access to actually pick up the telephones myself. Lisa, who's running our board back at the station, will have to pick up the phones.
Right.
And you're right. This is another one of those cluster things. This is, frankly, with no offense to the good people who run our show on WZAN, this is what's wrong with radio today, the fact that, like, one company owns eight stations in a market this size.
That's why you got to treat them nice. If you, you know, these people, we know that they own every station here in Portland.
And all of the stations, I think, with the exception of the fact that we're live today,
right.
I think pretty much all of the stations are computerized.
Robotic.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
Run by robots.
Robotic. And when we arrived at the airport today,
the best mates of the 70s and 80s.
We got into the car, and Rob started punching around on the radio dial. Now, we had no idea that the people who own... Thanks, Mike.
Stressed out. Sorry.
Hey, that's for you, Teddy.
Sorry.
If you're listening right now, that's your famous cousin who just burped on the radio.
No, it was Wendell.
No, it was... Testing! Testing!
Testing! Testing! Testing 1-2! There you go.
We get into the car today. They pick us up from the airport. We get into the car, and Rob immediately starts playing with the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know the WZAN's company owns every station
right.
in town.
Right.
So as soon as they go to a station, we immediately start cutting it apart. We start going like, good times and great oldies. And the guy says, yeah, that's right. That's the format.
Right.
And they go to the next station. We hear the song. We immediately go, oh, that's got to be the best mix of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. He goes, that's right. Oh, that's got to be today's hot country with less talk. And it wasn't until we arrived at the station that we saw the absolute army of vehicles out there.
Right.
Where we see that, in fact, all of the stations we were goofing on are the stations that are owned by the same company.
I'll tell you right now, they can't drive those vans with robots. And every station in this building has a van.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Not yet. That's
but
right.
Someday.
I'm the station driver.
Now, we do have some stories about getting up here.
Yes.
Of course, Ted, you'll be glad to know, your cousin, the Golden Boy,
GB,
made his own arrangements,
as I often do,
to fly up here last night. That's why Mike left the show early today. And incidentally, I thought he was on his way to his car.
Mm-hmm.
Told me today he heard us talking about, you know, goodbye forever, Mike, and about the website. Am I going down or not?
When I got to the airport, based on that, I'd actually it was a direct flight, even though it was on one of those Indiana Jones turboprop planes. And I, as it turned out, I only had about 12 minutes between getting on the plane and getting to, you know, getting situated, getting my ticket changed, because shocker, I made new arrangements at the last minute.
Right, you never do that.
I never do that at all. And so it gave me 12 minutes to have the equivalent of 4 shots of alcohol.
Wow. And he's made new arrangements. He's made new arrangements to go home also.
Yes, I have. Yes. Uh-huh. And, people used to think it's fear of flying, and it isn't any longer. It's Golden Boy's. What will be the travel arrangements that will be to my maximum convenience?
Well, listen, because when we were originally going to come up here, the plan was, we were all going to fly up here this morning.
I want to talk about this because the original plan was that we were going to come up directly on a jet, and it turned out that the jet was too tight a connection. It was going to get into Portland with too little time between that and the broadcast. Now, you and Charlie, out of the goodness of your heart,
yeah, we said, go ahead,
stay on this. We know you don't like to connect.
Take the later flight, that would have gotten Mike into Portland at 2:30 local time, 30 minutes before the show.
Then as things went along, I got the impression that although it was condoned and you were nice enough to say, hey, you know, go ahead, do that, I realized that there was going to be, if I happen to be late for the broadcast,
a level of ball busting
that was unacceptable.
Sure.
And this is about Wednesday evening, where I was home and I was sitting doing what I always do, checking plane schedules on the computer. And I determined, I said, you know, the level of ball busting I will get if, say, I arrive at 3:30 or God forbid, you know, one of those two-hour delays, and I get here halfway through the show.
Well,
and
the whole time. You would have been late because when we were standing out of the alley today.
That's the plane.
When we were standing in the alley smoking.
We're very close to the airport here.
Mike saw the airplane that he would have been on that was just pulling in at 10 minutes until 3, so you would have been
late. And I decided that, you know, I see this this one flight on a prop plane. You know, there's so many factors when I'm trying to schedule these flights for my maximum convenience. And there's so many things that I like and dislike. And sometimes you just have to accept something you don't like for the greater good
of your convenience.
No. I did it for me.
Okay.
I didn't want to get my balls busted. Don't think I did it for you guys. If I knew that whatever time I showed up would be absolutely absolutely A-OK and nobody would say a word, I would have taken a 4 o'clock flight.
So
a bigger jet.
So he changes his flight. He was originally going to fly later than us and arrive later than us, which was cool. He changed it at the last minute to fly up last night. Now, you were also
I was going to do a surprise.
Oh, yeah, and meet us at the airport.
I was going to meet you at the airport, and then I realized this group, our crew, you guys don't like surprises. You don't. It wouldn't
be. I told you it would have been a funny surprise.
It might have been a funny surprise, but I decided that, you know, I said to you, listen, I got to cut out a couple of minutes early. You said, why? And I said, well, I have to catch my flight. And then I looked for the reaction, and of course you gave me none. And I looked at it.
It's fine.
I looked at him, and he was like, oh, really? And then I get the reaction, which is expected, where you kind of look down and you shake your head.
Ruefully.
Very ruefully. There he goes again.
No, wait, that's not where it ends. Because
right.
Now tomorrow morning we're all getting up early. We're catching a flight to come back. Originally.
I got it all. Let me just tell you, I got it all. I'm going to say that now. You know, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I got it all over you guys for tomorrow. But that's,
Golden Boy.
You say that. That's when it's like.
Golden Boy originally, and this was now coming back from Portland.
Uh-huh.
He says, I can't fly back with you guys because I got to stay to have lunch with a friend of mine. So,
well, actually, the flight that I had originally booked didn't leave until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the reason. I was going to have lunch with my friend anyway.
But for the story here, I mean, I'm just trying to paint the picture. That,
I'm just trying to paint the facts, though.
Okay. You were going to take a different flight from us.
Right.
Then you changed that.
Right.
Coming back.
Right.
You originally were going to take a different flight from us.
Yes.
So you could leave later.
Right.
Or if it just happens that that's the time the plane was leaving.
Yeah, I'd actually prefer to get out early, but that's the time. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when the plane was going to
leave. So anyway, now he's changed his flight back.
Right.
And he's leaving before we're leaving.
Yes, I am. And that won't be, you know, because it's always a trade-off. Because when I'm thinking about me, as I often do, you know, I said, you know, we're going to have a wonderful time here in Maine tonight. You know, it's an early flight. Why so early?
You're going to have a real good time tonight, especially if your relatives show up. And I know you're going to want to do that Portland talk.
Yeah,
you know that accent that you love
doing.
Well,
I'll tell you right now, I think it's great to be in Portland, Maine. I mean, Jesus Christ, we brought up and flew the thing. Hello, yeah, wicked. It's going to be a wicked good show. Hello, Portland. How are you?
You're going to want it tonight.
Yes, I know.
Have a good time.
I'm a little connected to this area. Sure. I am.
Yeah, you are.
So I'll be up early, and you guys will be. Well, you guys aren't that much later than I am.
Just
leaving.
An hour later. But the point is that originally, Golden Boy had to leave 6 hours after we leave. Now,
right, the Golden Boy Travel Agency has arranged for me to have an earlier flight tomorrow morning, and I will be leaving earlier.
So the grand picture of this is after originally.
Might be an all-nighter for the Golden Boy.
after originally scheduling everything so that you would arrive later than we do and leave later than we do, at the last moment you changed so that you left before we do.
That is correct.
And now you will be departing before we do.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Golden Boy.
Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful
topsy-turvy
thing, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am, and I know this is a very small town, but I inquire now as to where are some of Portland, Maine's finest all-night night spots. After-hours illegal clubs. Speakeasies, if you will. I'd like to really know, because it could be, you know, about 2 a.m. or so, I say, hey, Katie, bar the door.
Yeah. I get the feeling they might roll the sidewalks up here a little before 2 a.m.
Well, speaking as someone who did get here last night, I think it's a little before that. It might be like 10 o'clock where they say, you can't even get a regular pizza after 10 o'clock in this town.
Well, I bet you find a way around that.
I'll do it. Absolutely. I'll go to a private home if I have to.
I just want to say that you today, by not traveling with us, though,
yes,
missed maybe the best episodes ever in the Buzz Burbank show.
Right.
The Buzz Show. You know, we love Buzz when he travels. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
We love Buzz when he travels.
Buzz, who has traveled on, I don't know how many, countless missions like this that we have gone. Yep. Countless sorties that we have flown with this group. And you still haven't learned to travel, have you?
I have no problem traveling.
You, of course you do.
Well,
from what I hear, these
I haven't heard the story yet.
I wasn't there.
Well, now, there were just a couple of small. Listen, in the big scheme, they're nothing.
They're nothing.
But when we travel together,
the scenes add up to a whole program.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Buzz Show.
Buzz is somewhat of a pilot fish when he travels.
A pilot fish?
A pilot fish.
Is that a fish out of water?
No, a pilot fish is the kind of fish that, like, swims underneath the shark. And if the shark goes right, the pilot fish will go right.
Yeah,
and if the shark goes left, that's the way it works.
It's a good policy.
Okay, the first buzz sighting I had today, and I was not even planning on such an early start to the buzz show, was when I arrived at Dulles Airport this morning.
Right.
And I saw you pull into the valet parking.
Right.
And I immediately, you know, because I know Buzz is fine.
Schmancy.
Right, I'm there parking at the regular Bailey parking, but now Buzz is at the valet parking.
Shallah.
And I noticed that the first thing you did, and again, it's nothing, it's small, it's minute, but it's all part of the texture and the fabric of the Buzz show.
It amuses you.
Yes, that Buzz didn't pull his car up to where you valet, and he went over and actually pulled into a spot.
I was waved into it by the attendant.
Oh, well, no, I saw two guys running after you with their hands like this in the air.
No, he was actually pointing me into the spot.
There were two guys behind you.
Okay.
There were two guys behind you.
Uh-huh.
One guy may have waved you in, but there were two guys behind you.
Well, valet parking at Dulles, you always pull next to the building, and they take
your information.
But they have it all coned off right now because they're reconfiguring it, and a guy actually waved me into a space.
Well, there were two other guys that were like, Senor! Whatever. That was just the beginning of the Buzz show.
Right.
You know, I see, well, look, there's guys running after Buzz's car. And I think to myself, it's already starting.
Mister, you're doing it wrong.
The Buzz show is starting. So then, as it turns out, I park my car, and you park your car. And as it turns out, as I'm walking into the terminal, you're in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say anything because I know that there might be another episode of the Buzz show to come.
Right.
So I'm just following you, and you're walking on, and then, you know, to your credit, you make it through the doors.
I've had practice with doors.
You make it through the doors that open by themselves, and you take the escalator up,
right,
by where they have the big sign that says what time the plane leaves and what gate it's from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at that moment that you see Rob. You see Rob Spiewak, who's in line at the luggage place.
Right.
You flat out sprint to Rob.
Yeah, I wanted to say good morning.
He gets off the escalator. He sees Rob, and it is, it's like something in a cartoon. Where you see the arms and the legs going up in there. Rob. Hi, Rob.
And I didn't know about this leading up to it. This is when I become a player, I suppose, in this program. You were out of breath when you got to me. You looked
I'd been jogging with luggage.
Nice greeting, but you were out of breath.
Yes. Now, honest answer here. Is any of this predicated on the fact that when you see Rob, you're just Rob will know where he's going, what to do, and all that.
Oh, believe it or not.
I know you guys will find this hard to believe, but I've actually flown out of many airports, including Dulles, many times.
By yourself?
With no problem.
Really? Without your wife leading you around?
Trouble-free traveling
usually,
for me.
Usually it's with your wife, though, isn't it?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay.
When's the last time you flew by yourself?
I don't remember. It's a couple of years, maybe.
Is that with name tag or without?
I'm just kidding.
We gotta get Buzz that thing that that people have for those kids, the dog collars they have for the kids, and they're not dog collars.
It's a leash for kids.
Yeah,
it won't be necessary in a year or two when we can actually have the wheelchair service provided. I'm kidding. I am joking.
Right.
See, that's not funny. That's almost like a stroller.
Yeah. Buzz, you'll be able to board first.
My thought process is.
So there.
I'm watching Buzz get off the escalator. He sees Rob, and I mean...
My friend Rob.
Flat out sprints 300 yards to get to him, to find him. Our thought is because then all you have to do is follow Rob.
Just to say hello?
To say hello and to have company. You know, it's better to travel with friends than nobody at all.
Especially when the friends know where they're going.
I'm kidding.
I can't help myself.
Yeah.
I'm a kidder.
Yeah.
I kid because I love.
Of course.
There's more of the Buzz show, though.
Oh,
It continued when we got to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
The Buzz show continued.
Right.
When we got to Boston. Should I start with the bathroom or should I start with the breakfast?
Bathroom.
Leads, you know what? Let's do a break first.
Good idea.
We're going to try to stay on schedule today.
Very good.
Also, we want to tell you, we do have the results from the web poll yesterday.
Oh, yeah, because we were waiting till the tape broadcast concluded in New York last night.
Yes, with the number of people who went on the web, the amount of people who voted, and we do have a winner to announce there, and we have guests and everything else. So let's start with the...
Do I get the touchstones on this thing, or do I ask Lisa to fire them? Do I have them here? Hold on, touchstones. I think I got them. Hold on a second.
There. 31. There, let's try to give away $500 right now with the secret sound number four.
All right.
And you know, Buzz, seriously.
Yes?
I was 877-365-3636. That's the phone number. Be the 100th caller now for the secret sound. If you really went that Phoebe route, we could probably all get on the airplane first.
Yeah, because he'd need handlers.
Yes. I was watching George Carlin being interviewed last night on one of the news channels.
Right.
And George Carlin has written a new book, and I think we're getting him on the show. Aren't we getting him on the show, Charlie?
Sure.
To promote his book. Well, didn't we talk about it?
We talked about it.
Okay. Haven't we had George Carlin on before when he wrote his last book? He was a good guest. George Carlin cracked my ass up last night. He said, you know what you need? He said, the problem now at the airport is that everybody's got some kind of physical ailment that they have to get them on the airplane first.
Right.
He
sure.
said, and George Carlin said, here's my brand new idea for a kiosk right in front of every single terminal is the plane cane. And what you do is you rent a cane, and then you walk up to the ticket agent and you say, oh, listen, I got a bum leg, I've got a bad toe, and you're able to get on the airplane first.
Absolutely. They'll let you on first. It'll work.
I mean, we're already traveling with someone who is very close to that. So
it is the technique that was pioneered at some of the area's finest amusement parks. Mm-hmm. And if you go to a place like Disney World, you will see perfectly healthy people in wheelchairs because they don't have to wait in line.
There's just one flaw in your plan.
What's that?
Who will lead me onto the plane?
All of us.
We'll each take an extremity.
All of us, yes.
Okay. One arm, one leg. We'll carry you onto the plane.
Yes, we will.
And you just have to, all you have to do is like bob your head around a little bit.
What we have to do is each invent an infirmity for him that would require another handler. Like I could have his insulin kit because, of course, he has diabetes.
I'll carry a fake oxygen tank.
I'll take one of the legs since we can say that he's got
phlebitis.
How about if we got like a fake leg, a prosthetic leg like they had on The Sopranos?
Buzz, you wouldn't be too uncomfortable if we duct taped your leg and back of your butt.
No, I could do that.
That's good. All right, we'll pretend you're an amp.
And Charlie could be his seeing eye monkey.
There you go.
So we could all get on the plane a little earlier before everybody else.
Charlie will have to sit on Buzz's shoulder, though.
Thank you. Thank you, Buzz. We do have more stories about our trip up here. We got a big show. We'll do caller 100 now for the secret sound. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
How does a hot chick like you end up working at the Ministry of Defense?
Oh, well, I went to Oxford, where I excelled in several subjects.
That's fascinating, Vanessa. Listen, why don't we go in the back and shack?
What?
I've been frozen for 30 years. I've got to see if my bits and pieces are still working.
Excuse me?
My wedding tackle.
I'm sorry.
My meat and two veg, my twig and berries. Hello, lad.
Oh, Mr. Bowers, please. I'd appreciate it if you could concentrate on our mission and if you're the bead of a rest.
They hate books. Don and Mike.
Live from Portland, Maine, at the studios of radio station WDAN.
Bang!
Where we do have a Las Vegas-style show tonight. Let's do a call 100 right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
I am caller 100.
Yeah, right. Hi, what's your name?
Craig.
Where are you from, Craig?
Right here in Portland.
Portland. Oh, now listen, someone from Portland, Maine. Are you coming to the show tonight?
Yeah, I'm definitely coming to the show tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Have they done any of that junk like they did in Sacramento where they make you go to car dealerships and make you go to Carl's Jr. to get tickets?
No, nothing like that.
Great, so it's the normal way. It's just first come, first serve?
Yep.
Beautiful.
All right, are you out there now?
Wait.
Are you out there now?
No, I'm not.
Ah, well, then you won't get in.
No, I'll get in.
Sorry about that.
You've won the Pull My Finger Volume 3 CD. To order this CD, and we do endorse this, it's got the, Pull My Finger Volume 2.
Number 2.
Sweet, love it.
It's got number two, it's got number one, and if
right.
you count vomit as number three,
mm-hmm.
although I've always thought that jizz was number three.
Yeah, me too.
Vomit would be number four, so it's
right.
got one, two, and a four on it, on volume two. To order the CD, visit the website at www.pullmyfinger.com. All right, the secret sound is a common everyday sound, and it's a contest that has been stolen by one of the local stations here, right?
I think Good Times Great Oldies is having a good time with it.
Yeah, right, Rad Bastards. We'll play you the sound now, a common everyday sound, and here are your clues. And I'm going to give you a bonus clue today.
Uh-oh.
The first clue...
Oh, Rob doesn't like that.
Sorry, Rob. First clue that Rob... Rob's clue was worthless, was hardware.
Right.
Great clue.
The second clue that I gave you was very right on the money, automotive.
Hmm.
The third clue we gave you was cycle. Circle.
Cycle.
Cycle. Mm-hmm. The fourth clue, metal.
Money, metal.
Metal. Now, Rob, don't be mad at me. I've virtually given it away now.
Hope you're enjoying yourself, Don.
If you get the sound, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Stephen Wonder.
And Stephen Wonder.
Yes.
And we wish you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this sound.
There it is. Now, with those clues, we should get a big money winner from Portland, the city that we're in right now. And if we do give away the $500, it's courtesy Main Street Title.
Isn't she lovely, made from love?
Yeah. How come you didn't do the whole thing with your head and everything?
Because I was thinking about the music, man.
Do the thing with your head, though.
Isn't she lovely, made from love?
Yeah.
Ow.
Oh, yeah. Would you hit your mouth on the microphone?
Well, I committed, chip the tooth.
For $500, what is that sound?
Is it a hubcap clicking on or off?
Rob, what do you say? No, I agree. Absolutely not. Not
effing tea.
Ah! Not even close.
Rob's disappointed look, and he got me. That's the first time he's ever really gotten me.
Thank you, my friend. Don't forget that every guess is a clue
for you.
Thank you. Hold on. I bet we give the money away next time. Okay, now, we're in Portland.
Portland, Maine.
We got up early this morning to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter where it goes... No matter where we go, rather, I should say, I finally figured out whether we go to Sacramento,
right,
which is 4,000 miles away,
mm-hmm.
or whether we go to New York, which is just like 800 miles away, or if we go to Maine, which is roughly the same,
right?
It's pretty close. It takes us 7 hours to get everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it does take you that long.
We just, oh, shut up, good boy. We just can't get on a plane and go somewhere.
Right.
No. We've got to stop somewhere. We've got to have a layover. And as it turns out today, we had a two-hour layover. We all got up at 5 a.m.
Right.
for our 7 o'clock flight.
Right.
We had a layover in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we get to Boston.
Beautiful.
And as soon as we get off, you know what? That airport is an MF-er.
Well, I mean, it's like National. It's an old airport.
No,
it's not been renovated.
It's not like National.
No, it's old.
It is like Mad Max.
Right.
I mean, we had to walk. We were saying today that if you had to take the walk,
right,
that we had to take from Terminal A to Terminal B,
yes,
you would have had some kind of a violent fit around the fifth time that we turned a corner where there was a sign that said, Terminal B here,
right,
and all you're doing is walking down another one of these constructed hallways.
Logan, another one of those old city airports that, I guess when they originally designed it, it might have functioned, but then when they added on to it and tried to make it a modern airport, they failed.
So we get there. Unfortunately, we've got 2 hours a layover, right. So we got plenty of time. But as soon as the plane lands, the first thing that everybody does is go hit the head,
right?
Charlie goes to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. I don't know if Rob went to the bathroom or not.
Just to visit.
You guys went to the bathroom. Charlie went right there as soon as he got off the plane.
But Buzz did not go to the bathroom.
No, I did not have to go at that time.
And this is why this is just another small part of the Buzz story,
right,
today,
mm-hmm.
that as we are walking through the airport, we notice that Buzz is got his like his head on a swivel.
Yeah, I'm looking around.
As we're trying to make our way from Concourse A to
right.
Concourse B, and of course Buzz doesn't say anything to us.
No.
We don't know why he's not keeping up, and when I would turn around and look, I would see Buzz walking,
mm-hmm.
but
like the whole time looking around like he's soaking up the atmosphere of Bed Bath and Beyond.
So he's looking for something.
And the Animal Planet story. No, at this point, I don't know this. I just think,
all right.
You know, what is it? Buzz has been in thousands of airports. Why is he stopping and staring at Bed Bath and Beyond? Well, it's not until we sit down for our breakfast, that Buzz finally says, he's doing this with his hands. He's rubbing his fingers.
Drumming his fingers.
I go, what is it? He says, I have to go to the bathroom. I really have to go. And it was right after he'd ordered how many drinks?
Two beverages.
Well,
a large tomato juice and a large water. Mm-hmm. He says, no wonder he has to go to the bathroom.
Good and good for you.
Yeah. He says, I have to go to the bathroom. We said, we went to the bathroom.
Wow.
We all went to the bathroom. Well, I didn't have to go then. I have to go now.
Like Jerry Stiller in King of Queens.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go then.
I have to go. I have to go now.
Excuse me for not having a prostate.
So Buzz gets up and really felt bad for you as you left the restaurant because you had no idea where a bathroom was located.
That's true.
And
you're leaving out one part of the Buzz story. What? I hate to interject.
No, go ahead.
When he ordered the All-American breakfast over easy, when it doesn't come over easy, it says scrambled eggs, please no substitution. So he said, I'll have the American breakfast over easy. Doesn't come over easy. Scrambled. Scrambled only.
And that was when we got a naturally occurring... Naturally.
No, they got that when he ordered toast.
Yeah.
Because the toaster was broken.
Yeah, they had no toast.
No toast. Toaster's broken. Naturally.
Because I ordered it.
Naturally. Fine. So we all order our food.
Mm-hmm.
Broyhill orders, you know, his usual, just bring me a plate of food. I'll eat it with my hands.
Yes, raw meat.
Buzz orders, what'd you order?
Cheese on letter.
American breakfast. I accepted the scrambled.
As a matter of fact, I remember when he said, this is funny, when the girl says, well, it doesn't come with over easy, it just comes with scrambled, like it says on the menu. Buzz says, well, then I guess it's not so all-American, is it?
Oh, God, there you go. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Little testing.
You were getting the Buzz show today.
Yeah, but the Buzz show, the highlight of the Buzz show was that, you know, I'm trying to watch my weight, and I'm going to get into that in a second with what happened to Rob and I on the airplane.
Yeah.
But I order, specifically, they have on the menu, you can get an omelet with egg beaters.
Right.
Which is the thing that I want to get. So I say,
the egg substitute.
Yeah, give me the egg beaters and the turkey bacon. Meanwhile, Buzz has ordered the All-American, which comes with the sausage and over-easy eggs. Well, the broad...
Scramble.
Extra
tub of fat.
Right. The broad comes over and she brings the food. And she sits Charlie's down in front of Charlie's. And it was wrong, incidentally. Charlie's was wrong, right?
Well, the same woman, the woman who brought the food was not the woman who took the order, and I think that's where the problem began.
So Charlie just...
Did your breakfast come the way it normally, the normal way you want it without utensils?
Yes, just thrown together in a bowl.
There you go. Charlie just cuts his omelet open, and he goes, well, it's not what I ordered, but what the hell, I'll eat it anyway.
Me eat, right.
Yeah, Rob gets his.
Mine was perfect.
And they put this...
They put a plate of food
in front of Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the guy, hey, don't wait on me. I wouldn't wait on you. Go ahead, start eating.
So we did.
So everybody starts eating. And then she comes over about 5 minutes later, and she puts a plate in front of me, and it's obviously not egg beaters. It's a big, gigantic, totally yellow,
right,
fatty
omelet. Eggs.
Yeah, scrambled eggs with sausage.
With sausage.
And I looked at Buzz as Buzz is eating his breakfast, and I said, hey, Buzz, that's my breakfast you're eating. And he looked at me, and he said, yes, it's good. And I said, you ordered yours with sausage.
Uh-huh.
I've just noodled this through.
Right.
That's my breakfast you're eating. You're eating mine. It's got the fruit cup. It's got the turkey bacon.
Turkey.
You're eating my breakfast. And to that, Buzz said... he said something.
Naturally.
No.
I don't know what I said.
He said something like, well, I didn't want to prolong things.
It was obviously wrong. I don't think I had your breakfast either, really, because you ordered an omelet, right, with egg beaters?
Yeah.
Okay, well, mine was scrambled.
No, that was an omelet you had.
No, there was nothing in it.
Right, there was nothing in mine either.
Oh.
In an egg beater omelet,
okay.
I just
let's get this resolved once and for all.
They were all
your omelet comes in one solid piece.
And
your scrambled would be
it was right. One solid piece.
Now, Buzz, was it an omelet or was it scrambled eggs? Now, come on, now that's a simple distinction.
At this restaurant, it could have been either.
It all was right. Solid, Mike.
But the thing that was truly the tip off, and we even made fun of it when we saw it before we realized there was any sort of problem, was this turkey bacon,
mm-hmm.
which didn't look like proper bacon. And of course, it wasn't sausage.
Right.
But this bacon looked like some sort of mock bacon. It was really strange-looking bacon. I remember we commented on it, so it was obviously not right.
And, you know, I'll take a little responsibility because I didn't say anything to Buzz. I didn't.
None of us did.
I didn't noodle it through. I didn't think, wow, you're eating my breakfast.
None of us did.
So at that point, we say to Buzz, well, wait, I say, she brings over the other plate, and I say, Buzz, you're eating my breakfast. And he's, well, I didn't want to slow everybody up. You know, basically.
You said, go ahead and eat.
Yeah, so you know. You'd start to eat, right?
Right.
Eat my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So then the girl comes back, and she brings me the egg beaters thing. And at that point, then, I got mad at Buzz, and I said, well, Buzz, eat your other breakfast now. And I said it real loudly, so that, like, other people in the restaurant turned around and said, Buzz, You ordered your own breakfast, but you ate my breakfast, so go ahead. Eat the second breakfast, Buzz.
Now, is that when the food fight started? Is that
yes.
when the food
no,
started
no, no.
to be thrown across
there,
the table?
There was a mini food fight.
Oh, really?
When Rob insisted that Charlie eat some of the leftover egg beater omelet, and Charlie said, no, I don't want it, and Rob put a fork in it to try to just
come on,
flip it over to him.
Have some eggs.
And the thing, like, broke in half.
These are the signs that we've all been traveling too much.
Have a bit of it.
Here, have some egg, Pilgrim.
A little bit of egg.
So, you know, in the big scheme, Buzz, please understand, right. It's nothing.
I do. I felt badly, though.
It's nothing.
I did feel badly.
And I felt badly, too. You ate my breakfast, you bastard.
Well, all the orders were wrong. The service was slow, and they had no damn toast.
And
we're not going to confirm whether it was an omelet or not.
It was an omelet.
Could have been an omelet.
No, it wasn't an omelet. Buzz, scrambled eggs don't come in solid form.
And well, sometimes they do, as a matter of fact. The way I often get them, yes.
I've never had scrambled eggs in a solid form.
I've never had an omelet that didn't have anything in it.
An egg beater's omelet, uh-huh. And I specifically asked for egg beaters with nothing inside. I said, no cheese, no ham, no nothing, just an egg beater omelet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Wow. Your average omelet, one solid mass of yellow egg product.
Right.
Your
folded,
scrambled
oftentimes
egg
folded.
Might be in several different pieces solid, but
lumpy.
Most of the time it's kind of a lumpy.
They're cottage cheesy. Scrambled
right.
eggs are cottage
exactly.
cheesy.
Well, this was sort of lumpy like that and didn't look anything like the other two omelets on the table.
Because it was an egg beater omelet, and
right.
the other two omelets were regular omelets.
What really should have tipped us in was Buzz got a fruit cup.
Ah.
And that's what came with
well,
it. And that's how we should have known it. That and the retarded bacon.
Nobody spotted it. And like I said, the restaurant was goofy anyway, so
it's a great
I'm
restaurant.
Sorry. I felt terrible about it.
No, it adds to the overall experience.
Well, it adds to the perception, yes.
it was part of Mike. You missed a real good Buzz show.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Well, I was.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Charlie, for the tip in. And Buzz, who really? And then now this is no BS.
Uh-huh.
Buzz is the cheapest guy among us. Buzz. when we go out, sometimes, I think one time we actually shamed Buzz into paying a bill. A
couple times. Yeah.
And
a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first, once it was done the first time, now it's kind of a regular thing. Yeah, we'll lay it on you at the last second.
And keep in mind that generally when we go out, Mike or I will pay, but it really doesn't matter.
Because we all get an expense, but
right.
it's a pain in the ass because it goes on your credit card and then you have to wait to get reimbursed, and it's kind of a hassle.
So we're waiting to get the check, and I went to my bag. And pulled out the credit card, and I see Buzz go to his wallet, right? And Buzz is actually, now this is a miracle, Buzz has actually pulled out his credit card, and he's waiting for the bill.
That's good.
And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I want to pay because I ate your breakfast.
So badly.
It was just
so
more
guilty.
More the Buzz show. Don't feel guilty. It's a goof. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Put it away. Your money's not good here.
That was very nice.
Put it away.
Did I mention to you we've got one more trip next week?
Yay!
that's
a driving trip, though.
Right.
That's a driving trip.
Yeah, but the week after that, we get to fly.
Oh, yeah, to New York again.
Ah, some of you do.
right, Golden Boy, taking the train. But listen, I don't want to make it like everything was on Buzz today, because I had my moment also.
Yeah.
When we're waiting in Logan Airport to get our connecting flight to Portland, Maine.
Right.
And this is so retarded. We walk out the gate,
right,
and we take a little stairway where they bring us down to a bus.
It's what I did last night. It's what they do on most commuter flights.
Okay, well, this is why Logan Airport is just effed up beyond belief. We had to walk 20 minutes to get from Terminal A to Terminal B.
Right. We walked diagonally.
Yeah, that's what the girl said. Walk diagonally. And we effed that up, too, when she was trying to give us directions.
That's hard.
Walk diagonally. Mm-hmm. How do you walk diagonally somewhere?
I think it involves crossing one foot over the other.
Yeah.
I think what it involves is walking crab style. You crab your way down the hallway.
We got lost, and it takes us 20 minutes to get from one side of the airport to the other side to where we're going to catch this plane. Then we wait in line, and they put us on a bus, a little tiny, like almost like a shuttle bus. Yeah, well, that's a nice word. I was going to say like a little, like a small yellow school bus,
like a cattle car.
Yeah, it's a very small car that we're getting on, and
jitney.
There's about, I don't know, 9 people on this bus,
right?
And they finally start the engine up, and as we start our 10-minute drive, I realize what they're doing is
right.
They're driving us from Concourse B all the way back around to Concourse A.
How ridiculous is that?
Where we began.
So let's get this right. So what they're doing is you have to walk over to the one concourse, to the gate,
to take a bus
back to the other concourse.
Right. So
that sucks.
As we pull up in front of this Indiana Jones-like 1930s plane, immediately we're apprehensive about this. But there's only going to be 9 people on this plane, and frankly, I did do something very gay. When we were checking in,
right,
I called Rob up when we were checking in for the flight to Portland, and I said, "Hey, come here, Rob." I said to the woman, I said, "We're traveling together.
This is my life partner."
That's what I said.
It was said.
I said, "Our union is not respected in most states of the union." And then Rob said, "We're going to Vermont to get married."
Right.
But I said to the girl, I said, We both had on ugly Hawaiian shirts. I've taken mine off now. Rob still has
still
his
have on my ugly shirt.
It's handsome, Rob.
I said, we're wearing our matching shirts. We're in love. It's important that we sit together on this plane.
Sure.
So she said, okay, and she gave us the seats. And then she just gave me both of the tickets.
Right.
And I felt bad for Rob. I didn't realize this till later that I really was treating him like my wife, that I put the tickets in my pocket.
Holding hands, helping him up the ramp.
Well, the thing that I hated is naturally she assumed I was the bitch in the relationship.
You were the catcher?
Right.
Yeah.
Be proud.
So we finally get off the bus, we get on the airplane, and Rob and I, in fact, are sitting together. We're in the third row.
And it's a plane that's broken up 1 seat on the left, the aisle, then 2 seats.
Oh, okay. It's like the one I flew in on last
night. So we were jammed into 2 seats. Together.
There you go.
But you know, we were together.
Not a lot of room with those, even average-sized people.
Right. Not a lot of room. Now, and I'd also like to point out that on this plane, there were people who are plenty times fatter than we are.
Yes.
Oh, as a matter of fact, there was one woman, Martin Lawrence, Big Mama's house. This is lady. Her bag that she wanted to check in, she had to, how much?
17?
86 pounds. It was 16 pounds overweight.
So what they
86 did, pounds?
One bag. In a bag.
Jesus.
Yeah. So they had this lady off to the side taking stuff out of her bag.
And eating it.
Well, that's exactly.
Bingo.
That's exactly what the thesis we came up with. Really, she looked like Martin Lawrence in Big Mama's house. It's a big, gigantic, fat sister, big, gigantic ass with this. And her bag was the biggest carry-on bag I've ever seen in my life.
It was on wheels, but they were radials.
On these planes, what you do is you get down to the stairs and you put your bag off to the side.
Right.
And they load it into the belly of the plane, but if it's overweight, they're still going to have to edit it.
They wouldn't let this girl on the plane with her bag. So there were plenty of fat people on this plane, okay? Right. So Rob and I are sitting down, and we're thinking, well, finally, we're going to get to Portland, Maine.
Right, quick flight.
And they've not started the propellers yet when the waitress comes up and she says, excuse me, but you two are going to have to move to the back of the plane.
We need lift.
And I said to her,
you're not the fattest guys on the plane.
No, and I said to her, why? And she said, because we need weight distribution on the plane.
Right.
I can't have the two of you sitting here. Now, at that point, I stood up and I looked behind me and I said, there are plenty of people on this plane who are fatter than we are. I said, is it the Hawaiian shirts? Is this what it is? The fact that we're wearing Hawaiian shirts and we're sitting together?
Right.
And she said, and this was very rude to the guy that was sitting in the aisle next to us.
Yeah.
She said, no, this man is just as fat as you are.
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to have to
act.
But I'm going to have to ask the two of you to move
right
to the back of the plane. So as Rob and I walked.
Is this after, just after you get situated?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 85 degrees in this
right
old 1930s plane. And we shoehorn ourselves up.
So after, as we're walking back down the aisle, you know, I'm looking at Buzz. And it's like payback for Buzz.
Yeah.
He's been through the Buzz show all morning, and he sees me and Rob get moved because we're too fat.
Having a good time.
As we keep going back, I keep saying to the waitress, as we pass people, and I realize now how incredibly rude I was.
Right.
We pass people, I say, well, she's fatter than we are.
Oh, my God. You said that right
yeah
to her face?
I said, this guy is fatter than we are. I said, really, we're not as fat as you think we are. She said, no, it's not that you're fat. Everyone on this plane has to weigh 170 pounds. And I said, well, not everybody on the plane weighs 170 pounds.
Please, sir, it's all about the center of gravity. To the back, please.
And I said to her, I weigh about...
She really said to the back,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. I said, I weigh about 213.
Right.
And I said, my friend here has lost about 70 pounds. I said, I don't know how much he weighs, but I guarantee we're not as fat as 80% of the people on this plane.
So you guys are making this into the Jenny Craig issue of all time.
Well, come on, it's embarrassing. In
right
front of everybody, she has said, yeah, out of all of the fat people on the plane,
right,
she has selected Rob and I. And okay,
yeah,
you know what? We're not as thin as Hugh Grant.
So they
okay
move everybody to the back of that plane. Is it basically going to be the tail of the plane dragging down the runway?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sparking up as it goes.
But you know what? We're not John Candy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, we're somewhere between Hugh Grant and John Candy.
We fit in the seat, okay?
We don't need the seat extenders for
right
the seat belt things.
Right. Would any of this have changed if you two were sitting apart?
I don't know.
I think that she had it in for
Let me ask you a question. On this plane, were there single seats available where you wouldn't have been sitting next to each other?
Yes.
Yes.
That's kind of gay.
I think
I brought up myself. It was totally gay.
We're traveling together.
I think totally gay.
But you don't want to ruin the joke. I think the plane sat 34 people, and there
right
was like 9 or 10 people on the flight.
I was totally gay. As soon as we got to the gate, I said, I want to sit next to Rob, just because I want her to have a laugh,
right?
Yeah.
On
sing
the,
a song
on the flight, because well, he had taken his
yeah
goofy pills,
sure, yeah pills. The magic was flowing.
Right.
To the back, please.
He had taken his attack,
sure,
and he's funnier to be around.
Oh, he's hysterical. He'll be better than a movie if you're sitting next to him when he's taking to his attack. He'll talk to you the whole time. You don't have to say anything
no
to him either.
And you know, he had that thing going that abab.
Did he have a little chalk at the
yeah
corner of his mouth?
A little bit,
sure. I really like this plane. I'll tell you right now, it's incredible. Okay. She needs makeup that way just right now. For the back, please. I don't understand why she has to
now
do that.
Like you were there.
This is how it started. Well, no, I told him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, he told me about you giving her a hard time about her makeup.
This is how it starts is that she moves us to the back of the plane, which is humiliating.
Right.
Okay. And we go back. We go past all these other people who, oh, seriously, no BS, way fatter than we are.
He's a funny guy. When he takes his attack, he's a much funnier guy.
That's scary. But they get to keep their seats. So she sits us down, and she starts to walk back towards the front. And now, I don't know the exchange that occurred, but I know that Charles Broyhill engaged her in some snappy repartee.
Was it pleasant or unpleasant?
No, because she came back and she said to us, and now keep in mind, this is just after we've been to the back of the plane and we've been screaming at her, we're not as fat as these people. She comes back to us and she says, are you traveling with him? And she points at Charlie wearing his Dennis the Menace shirt.
I asked if I could move up to their seats, and she said no. I said, but I'm not as fat as them.
Oh, God.
She said, they're not fat. Everybody on this plane weighs 170. I said, but they don't. Let me move up. And she wouldn't let me move.
So what we've got here is a group of 9 people on an aircraft.
And we yes triangulated.
And 3 of the 9 are being extraordinarily difficult.
You well brought up my head. I remember that.
Yeah, I did. I said, look how big his head is. And then she said to me,
said, well, maybe I shouldn't put you up front because you have a pinhead.
Oh, my God. So you've really...
The waitress.
You've all exasperated her at this point.
Well, no. She has exasperated us. First off, she could have come up politely and said, listen, guys, would you mind moving to the back of the plane?
Do you find that with the smaller plane, though, and not a lot of people on it, that there's a more of an intimate atmosphere where you feel like you can be a little freer with the way you speak to her? I know that's what it's like on a small plane.
So. Absolutely. So... Now Rob and I are in the last row, and we're still bitching about, we're still looking at the people in front of us going, look at that. Why, that guy is way fatter than we are. And look at his wife. God, what a pig she is.
And in retrospect, I'm realizing now we're also still sitting next to each other, when we could have at least split up across the aisle. But we're taking the joke to the end.
And on a plane that size, you're basically in each other's laps.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right, Mike. So when it gets great is when she comes back, and she asks us if we want a beverage, if we want something to drink, like a Coke or something. And we make our order, and as she's walking away, Rob says, yeah, hey, and try some makeup.
Oh, my God.
Not loud enough, I don't believe.
Kind of under his breath in the way he does.
Try some makeup. She may have heard it over the...
Right.
It's hard to say.
Then every time she comes back, we start saying stuff. She would, like, come back and give us a breath mint or something.
Sure.
Which I also took as a personal affront.
Yeah.
Although she was handing them out to everybody.
Yeah. Well, the personal affront I took is when she came up offering drinks and cereal bars. And, of course, you know me, world's fattest man. Don didn't want one. She said, well, he didn't want one. Would you like his, too? Yes.
Help yourself to some punch and cookies.
Every time she walks away, we keep saying stuff like, hey, do you think she knows our friend, Mary? Mary Kay? And then we start playing the game where Rob goes, do you think she knows Max? And I go, oh, Max Factor?
Oh, God, makeup jokes.
Yeah.
She could have used a little foundation, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
She was not the prettiest waitress I've ever seen on a flight.
She was unpretty.
And Rob said to me, you know what? That's better than ugly, to call a girl unpretty.
Unpretty.
Yeah, because he's like in the other direction.
So unpretty would mean nothing she could do could make her pretty.
Yeah, she could try to help, but it's of no use.
Unpretty.
Unpretty.
And at the very end, as we were finally getting off the airplane, and again, I thought that she didn't really mean what she said. She said, watch out that you don't hit your head as you're getting off. What I thought she was saying was, please, both of you bastards in the Hawaiian shirt, hit your heads clean open.
As hard as you can.
Just like Mick Foley did. Cut your heads wide open.
You see, and again, at that point, I thought it was just a head joke. Because she says to me, watch your head.
Watch your head.
Because Broyhill has mentioned that,
Broyhill's a big head.
Look how big his head is.
We're going to need a special skill saw to cut a hole in the top of the aircraft for the gentleman to fit his head through.
Meet the jaws of life at Concourse C.
And then, we're not already just out of our minds with everything that's happened. We get out of the airport. We're standing out front. And who do we see? She's there.
Yes, she is.
She's there. And rather than just turn away, she comes over and says, hi. Did you have a nice flight?
Oh, really? Yeah. The lady?
Yeah. The waitress.
The waitress is there?
The stew.
Oh, no.
So that was nice. I just hope to see her again tomorrow.
I would say that the flight attendants that work those commuter aircraft probably have the worst. It's probably the worst end of the air travel biz.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because you're jammed in these things. It's ridiculous. It's insane.
And they fly like every hour because it's a 20-minute flight. So she really works like a real day.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing Rob was doing was cracking me up. When we got to Boston, when people were talking with their Boston accents.
Hi there. Yes, Tarika.
It's a pissa.
Yeah.
It's a wicked pissa.
Rob starts saying real out loud, what's wrong with these people and the way they talk?
Oh, God.
Wow, these people sound so retarded with the way they're talking.
You'd had Mr. Atavan before that, hadn't you?
Yeah, I was at the top of the hill. Man.
Very, very dangerous boy.
I mean, when the waitress came over to take our breakfast order, she was not maybe 2 feet away when Rob said, why does she talk so retarded?
Oh, God. Oh, no. I think you all should have checked your eggs after that. Might have been a little more than egg beaters at play.
My egg was a little runny.
Hey, you hear that guy talking about the way we talk?
So do you see the fun that you miss out on?
Yes.
You don't travel with us?
It kills me. You know, there's nothing I'd rather do than be with you all, especially with our recent travel schedule. I'd like to be with you every step of the way.
Okay, we got a break soon?
But can I break now or what? When is she coming on? Jill Arrington.
She's coming on at
4:30. All right. Well, then, let's do break. Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll tell you the web result poll.
I'm very curious to see who came in second place. That's $500 that the second place winner gets.
Yeah, and I want to take some phone calls and we're going to talk to that POA, Jill Arrington from CBS.
Right.
And I still have nothing for Mother's Day.
I'm screwed too.
I've screwed the pooch on Mother's Day, and there's no way that I can give Frida a Mother's Day present from an airport gift shop.
I am going to have to ask you, you have a few more years of marriage under your belt, and I'm going to have to ask you a question about the dilemma that I have for Mother's Day, a conversation that I have with my wife. I'm perplexed.
Okay.
It's
all right.
Very, very tricky, and I somehow, it's always been important, but this year, I feel like I'm being set up for something.
Well, no. Like this, you know what? You're just getting into the freedom mode where it is a holiday. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, Mother's Day is nice. We all love our mothers.
Of course.
We love the women who have sired our children.
Yes, yes, indeed.
But it is, frankly, it is a made-up holiday made up by the Hallmark Company.
But the moms love it.
Oh, they do, and yeah. It's very important. And
it's a far more significant holiday than Father's Day.
All those years when I would tell you what a big deal it was to Frida,
sure.
And you would say, hey, I don't get it, I don't understand.
I still don't understand it, and I'm being set up for something. I believe the conversation, the one thing that was said to me was something along the lines of, I'm not sure. Uh-oh. You decide.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, then you're screwed.
So, you're screwed. I am totally lost.
You are absolutely screwed.
I know.
I do want, I know one thing that Rob's wife doesn't need.
What's that?
I had a conversation with your wife last night.
I know.
I swear to God, it was like talking to my wife on the phone.
It's a blessing, isn't it?
It was a 10-minute phone conversation with Rob's wife.
Carrie doesn't talk much.
Last night. And I swear to God, it was just like talking to Frida. That I maybe said, hello, is Rob there?
Right.
Uh-huh. No. Okay, well, I want to ask Rob to go to a function with me.
Oh, hold on.
The goose is here.
Stop everything.
No, we're taking a flight on the goose.
Well, I do want to thank the good people at DePietro's Market South Portland, Maine.
And the Jamesons is here.
Who have brought by
the good stuff.
What looks like a case of Grey Goose vodka and two giant bottles of Jameson's Irish whiskey.
What? And you know what they got me, which is now the new thing, the 12-year-old version,
which is
just so special. I am so very, very grateful. Who do we thank for this again?
We want to thank the good people at DePietro's Market.
Thank you, DePietro.
Sam DePietro. Look at this. I've never seen this before. On the Grey Goose bottle, it's got a sticker that says, like, if you return it like a Coca-Cola bottle, you get 15 cents.
Oh, that's because we're up here. We're in Maine. There's no deposits down there.
Hey, look at this sticker on the Jameson's bottle. May cause dizziness.
Oh, it's a live night. There's a function coming up, which is for men only.
Men.
Okay? It's a male charity thing.
It's not that big thing where the guys go into stadiums, is it?
Oh, no. What
is that called?
I've been thinking about that. Father's Club or whatever the hell that thing
there's
is.
There's a name for it, Buzz.
Keepers.
Promise Keepers. No, it's not Promise Keepers. It's a charity thing at the Palm Restaurant.
Ah, okay.
Okay, and I get invited to it every year, and I never go. And frankly, this year I'm going to go.
Okay.
And Frida said to me, he can't go because it's for men only.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, you know, I'll take my gay lover, Rob.
Right, sure, right. We'll go and date there.
So I called Rob's house last night to tell him. And Carrie said, no, he's not home from work. And I said, well, great. Just give him this date and see if it's possible that he's free. And she said, oh, I'm looking at the calendar right now. I think he's free. Yes, he'd love to go. And that is when Carrie turned into Frida. Because at that point, I heard exactly why you couldn't make it on any day except that day.
Right.
I also heard how your wife has never been to that restaurant, but she wants you to take her there.
Someday, I'm sure we will.
And I heard about how your father-in-law work in the front yard last year.
Last year he did, right.
And you're going to do it this year.
And in the process this year, yes.
And how you're buying her lawn furniture for Mother's Day.
I am indeed.
And she's happy because she's wanted the lawn furniture for Mother's Day. And while I'm having this conversation with your wife, I'm looking at my wife, who's looking at me like, why are you looking like this? And I want to say to my wife, because this is just like talking to you on the telephone.
It's like being sandwiched between Obi-Wan and Yoda. And they can teach women to talk.
And I don't, listen, I hope your wife doesn't get pissed that I'm saying this. It's a compliment. I think Frieda's wonderful. I think your wife is wonderful.
And she is. They both are.
But frankly, give it a rest. I mean,
your wife can talk, Rob. I thought when I spoke to your wife, it was right after Julia was born,
right?
And you were out of the house, and I had called your wife to, you know, for the congratulatory phone call, and I think I was on the phone with her for maybe 15 minutes.
Well, you both caught her at a danger time because, you know, she spends the bulk of the day just her and the baby,
right?
And she's very excited to talk to a grown up, and
right.
You caught her, and I think that's also a time when you caught her.
Sure, okay.
She means nothing bad by it, and God bless her, but she can talk.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm doing a lot of the that's great, just like I do with Frieda.
Right.
As a matter of fact, today at the airport when I was on the telephone with Frieda, at one point I just held the phone out.
Oh no, she's going to hear that.
Well, I don't care. She was just going over details about stuff that we don't really have to talk about.
That's
now, you
when
know?
The, on the other end of the line it turns into...
Because I just called her up to say, hi, listen, I made it to Boston. I'll call you when I get to Portland. But it turns into, she says, oh, I got some stuff I need to talk with you about, which means, really, I've got some stuff that I have to tell you that you just have to listen to. So what I was doing was, I was walking around the airport with a telephone like this, and I put it up to Rob's ear, I put it up to Buzz's ear, I put it up to Charlie's ear. And by the time it gets back to my ear, she still is on the same sentence.
You know, if we were in our home studio, I'm pretty sure the hotline would be ringing.
Right, and I might be ringing right now.
All I got to do is say, uh-huh, at the end of it.
Sure.
I go, yeah, that's, you know, whatever, that's fine. And it was much the same thing. And as a matter of fact, I was on the phone with your wife last night.
Mm-hmm.
Frieda, towards the end of the conversation, was giving me the high sign, like, that she wanted to talk to your wife.
Oh, no.
And I thought, you know, my God. Now, this is a battle I'd like to see.
She's
right?
Thrown down the gauntlet.
My wife versus Rob's wife. Who possibly is going to get the elbow room to do
You'd
the
have
talk?
To get an octagon.
You would. Squared circle.
Right.
But fortunately, right at that moment, your baby daughter started making some noises.
Sure.
And Carrie said, oh, Julia's making noise. I got to go.
You know, they all really could take a lesson from my dad's mother, who one time so helped me. I walked into the kitchen. My father had fallen asleep. The phone had fallen into the trash can.
Right.
And my mom was still talking. We were able to wake my father, give the phone back, and she never knew.
That's quite a conversation with your wife.
Well, she likes you, and she likes to talk. And
like my wife. Again,
I love her a lot.
No disrespect.
No disrespect taken. I'm sure when you're holding the phone away from your head. none whatsoever. None whatsoever. It could be worse. I got in at midnight, called my wife, and woke her up.
Yeah.
Our conversation consisted of, hi, I made it to Portland.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay. Love you.
Click. You're alone.
Hello, Wendell?
She was sleeping, though.
Yeah, well.
You know, so there's a slack burger there.
Sure.
During the day, it's more like, okay, goodbye.
If you were lonely, I'm sure Wendell would have wanted to get together with you.
Wendell and I did get together. He kind of weirded me out when he asked me to his hotel room, though, later on at night.
Really?
You know, yeah, it kind of creeped me out just
me
a little bit.
Me and the advance man had already done the work and gotten some Jameson, which was not Bushmills.
Casting!
Hey, Wendell, true or not, you invited Mike O'Mara back to your room last night for a drink.
That's where the Jameson was.
Yeah. I just, for a moment there, I saw like a roll of duct tape on the bed, and I just got... All right. Here's your sound check.
Mike.
Check out this microphone.
Testing.
I love you.
That is a weird move.
That sounds sweet.
You leave a bar with a guy, and then he says, hey, how would you like to come back to my room for a nightcap?
And, you know, the room next door to Wendell's, all you would have heard was...
Stop your yakking. Stop your yakking right now. Listen, you're going to enjoy this. By God, you're going to enjoy this, Michael.
Stop it, you bastard. You're hurting me.
You're hurting me.
If you relax, you'll enjoy yourself.
Okay, we have to break. We will talk to Jill Arrington from CBS right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
Something, Archie, just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who is a fag is a queer.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're live in Portland, Maine.
Right.
Doing the show today from radio station WZAN.
Bang.
We have a live Las Vegas-style show tonight at the State Theater. We should be on stage by about 8:15 tonight.
Fantastic.
See you there for the usual fun, Portland, Maine style. Do we have Jill on the phone now?
Jill Arrington?
Not yet.
See, this is the problem with doing a show on a schedule. That we break when we're told to break.
We do what we're supposed to do.
We're on time for Jill Arrington.
We prepare for the celebrity guest.
And there she is.
Naturally.
See, this is why
all she wanted was an egg beater's omelet.
This is why, generally, we don't have celebrities on the show. This is like the discussion we had with Leah Remini yesterday.
Right.
No, Rob, I don't think this is the problem with women.
You don't?
Well, Rob.
I think it's the problem with Jill Arrington.
Rob, you always like to put people in a box.
Well, she's a woman, isn't she?
I understand that.
W-O-M-A-N?
She's all woman.
W-O-M-A-N.
You know, and that reminds me, we don't have an answer yet from Leah Remini.
Right. No calls from Leah came in today?
No, I was talking to Charlie this morning, and he said, frankly, he was surprised we hadn't heard from Leah yet. When I talked to Lisa yesterday, she said when she was answering the telephones that this is what I love about our audience. We've had Leah on for about 3 years. Who's taking pictures in the other room?
Is somebody reaching over our security cordon?
That's the guy from DonandMikeFans.com, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't we talk? We didn't talk about that because I was on the phone with Bart. Well, tell him not to be such a sneaky bastard about it.
Well, that's how he started. He started as a sneaky bastard. That, sure. That was his, it's difficult to break old habits. He started as a sneaky bastard and then he grew into a legitimate, partner.
Because Charlie said to me during the break, the people from the website are here, or rather not the people, the guy.
Right. He travels all over, I think, on his own dime also.
The scary guy wants to come in and take a picture. And I said, hold on a second, I'm on the phone with my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know. And then, as it turns out, I talked to Bart during the entire break, and I wasn't able to converse with Charlie. And when we were talking, I just saw a camera go up from behind the newspaper that we've put up on the walls.
Because we hate people to stare. We don't like to be in these studios that are surrounded by glass.
We're very Howard Hughes-ish like that.
Well, we just like to have our own moment in here, you know, and people should know when we do the show, we're all wearing shirts, but we're not wearing pants.
Right. We're very Elvis-like that we like to put stuff up on the windows, and I saw a camera just hanging over the edge there. I got to tell you about this. I'll talk about Lee in a second. And if Jill Arrington ever calls, let me know. Bart's prom is in a couple of weeks.
Ah, very exciting. Wow.
And much as I have tried to talk him out of it, he wants a tuxedo similar to Dumb and Dumber.
Attaboy.
Nice.
To wear to his prom.
Have you explained to him that these are photos that he's going to see for the rest of his life?
Well, the problem is that there's a photo that Frida has of me.
Right.
From my high school graduation.
That's right, I've seen that.
Which you wore baby blue, didn't you?
No, in this photo. Now, to one high school prom, I did wear crushed velvet.
Right.
Baby blue. To the other one, I wore red crushed velvet with the pink ruffled shirt.
70s, man.
But for my high school graduation picture, I have on a brown corduroy jacket, a brown shirt, and a gigantic clown-like yellow bow tie.
The style of the day. Were you wearing bell bottoms with the big cuff?
You got Jill? Okay, well, now she can hold on a second. Back in the day, that was the style.
Right.
Now, Bart goofs on this all the time.
Didn't you have a leisure suit back in those days, too?
I had many leisure suits.
Many?
back when I would do my disc jockey appearances at the Pants Corral.
You would wear a leisure suit.
Sure I did. So he's seen this picture of me, and he goofs on it all the time, and he saw Dumb and Dumber, and he was just telling me that he went out today, went over to Masters,
right,
to our favorite costumer,
sure,
and got himself a nice purple tuxedo.
A purple tuxedo.
A purple tuxedo.
Very exciting.
Oh, no sex quiz for Jill?
Oh, that's too bad.
That's too bad. Put her on. We'll talk to her anyway.
Very good.
Hello, Jill?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Jill Arrington?
Yes, Jill Arrington.
The Jill Arrington who was beaten by Hannah Storm in the Playboy poll?
Hi, Jill. Okay. Let's give her a round of applause. We're just kidding, of course.
No, Jill. I want to tell you why we mentioned that. And, of course, you're beautiful. You know that. And you're a good reporter. But you're beautiful, too. And you were in that Playboy poll.
Uh-huh.
And kind of as a goof,
yeah,
we asked all of our listeners to vote for Hannah Storm.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Funny.
And she went from like 11th place to second place in just a couple of days.
Look at those viewers for you. That's great.
It was kind of a test of our listening audience. You know,
right,
we did it as an experiment, and it was a very successful experiment for the show.
As a matter of fact, this guy in Sports Illustrated, Rick Riley, who we know, didn't know that we had done this. And he wrote in one of his articles how amazing it is that Hannah Storm
has this amazing sex appeal.
Had gone past all of these knockout beautiful women in this Playboy poll. And how could this possibly have happened? And that, you know, maybe people are looking at more than just the beautiful person.
We were, you know, we were very proud of that. And it was a very successful experiment.
Yeah.
But Jill?
Yes.
Jill, you are a good reporter. I love you on the sidelines. I love you during the college football. I watch you on the arena football.
Mm-hmm.
Why not impressed?
Why do you sound disingenuous? I do watch. Quiz me about arena football.
Yeah, can you give Don an arena football quiz?
Okay, how many teams are there this year?
I don't know because there's been expansion.
Right.
But I do know there's the Milwaukee Mustangs.
Right.
I do know there's the Los Angeles team that has the guy on crack who's the quarterback, Tom Marinovich. I do know the Tampa Bay Storm. I do know the, is it the Albany Red Dogs?
Firebirds.
The Firebirds.
How are the Albany Firebirds drawing this year?
Well, they moved over to Indiana now, so they're in Indianapolis.
They're the Indiana Firebirds?
I do know that there are expansion teams in Detroit and Chicago.
Exactly.
And you may be surprised to know this. I actually, on Sunday afternoon, watch arena football.
That's and great. We love that.
And these guys will tell you that I watch. See, Joe works
true
the sidelines and the halftime thing for arena football.
Right.
I watch it. Okay, so I'm a fan of arena football.
That's great. Let's do that.
Why does she hate it?
Why don't you say on your radio show something about, you know, arena football or watching me or something to get people to watch arena football? It helped your radio show when you asked your listeners. They listen to you.
So you want us you want to do an appeal for arena football,
exactly,
viewership right now?
Right, exactly.
What would be the number one reason that Jill Arrington would give our listening audience for watching arena football, outside of Don, who watches everything football? What's the main attraction of arena football?
Well, she's on.
I think the fact that there's really great athletes, I think people are always surprised when they watch is how good the competition is on the field. People don't realize it's a really fast game. It's great players. A lot of guys played in the NFL and could easily play in the NFL.
Are most of these guys on their way up to the NFL or on their way down out of the NFL?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think a lot of the players have been there already, and then some are just looking for that second shot to get in. You know, they had a bad combine or whatever happened, they didn't make it in. And this is just their chance to get a good look, because so many NFL owners are buying AFL teams now, and they're really using it as a developmental league. So I think it's a little bit of both.
You're gorgeous. You know that?
Don's in love with you, Jill. He's having difficulty doing this interview.
Oh,
I remember a game. I remember I don't know if you were down in the swamp. If it was one of the Florida Gators games.
Yeah, I did a lot of those.
Well, you had a black top on, and wow, fantastic. Listen, what is wrong with saying, you know, obviously she got the job because she does the job. You know, I don't know why women are offended when I
say... Well, we don't know whether she's offended or not. We haven't asked her that question.
As soon as I said she's just gorgeous,
she's not quiet. How would you want her to respond to your compliment?
Say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you know what? I would say the same thing to give me a dreamy.
Give me the Greek.
No, come on. Who's Rich Eisen? I would say Rich Eisen.
You would say Rich Eisen looks good in a black tie.
a goddamn handsome man. Marv Albert, you know, is very, very handsome. Mm-hmm.
Yes, a very handsome, very good
man. Very handsome. I mean, it's television, so you get a lot of that, I think. But I have a good time. I'm glad that you're watching. That's good to hear.
No, I do watch.
Great.
And I watch because I like the football, and frankly, I like you, and I know that you're engaged to someone, but it's a big secret that you won't say who it is.
Oh, it's not. I don't know where that rumor started. It's not.
Well, are you engaged?
Yes, I am. Getting married this summer. Really excited.
Who are you engaged to?
His name is Dean Panero, and we went to college together, so we've been together a long time.
Is he in the business?
He's an agent, so he sort of is, a talent agent. But
I got bad information on that. That's not a big secret.
No.
Oh, see, somebody told me, boy, if you really want to get Jill Arrington, ask her about who she's engaged to.
Huh.
That's silly.
Isn't it amazing the way people
together
are...
together for like 10 years, and we're very excited about it, and yeah, no secret.
So you're disappointing a lot of fans, I think, by getting married. No chance you could have second thoughts or anything like that, is
no,
it?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm going through with it.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
When you work at CBS, when you do the college games, Vern Lundquist ever come on to you?
Of course not. You know, his wife works with him, so she's always with us.
Oh, is she up in the booth when...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's great. So she's his assistant, so she's around. We have a good time.
When you get married, will it be a sham marriage or will it be a real marriage?
It'll be a real marriage.
It'll be a real marriage?
I hope so.
Does he make a lot of money, this guy?
He is fine, yeah.
Will he change his last name to Arrington?
That's funny. I guess, I don't know, you know. We'll have to talk about that. No,
What do you do when you're not broadcasting? What are your passions?
I play a lot of golf and tennis.
Hey!
Yeah.
All right, what's your handicap?
Yeah, I don't play enough to be so good, but it's about a 20, to be honest.
That's not bad.
Right. No, it's okay. I played in a Ronnie Lott's tournament last month up in Pebble Beach, and I played pretty well, so I have a good time. Anytime I can get out there, it's just hard to find, you know, 4 to 6 hours to play, but I do enjoy golf and tennis, and just sports in general. I never stop.
Were you offended when you were in that Playboy thing?
Not at all. No, I
wasn't. Not at all?
I just took it as, you know, something us women had nothing to do with, and I took it all in fun, and it doesn't really have much to do with my job, but it's just something a company did, and just like you did your little contest, they did it to get people to go to their website. So
seriously, you're
where it came from, you know.
You're so much hotter than Melissa Starr.
Oh, no.
Really. No, that's 100% serious. So much hotter than Melissa Starr.
But, you know, it doesn't matter about that as much as... And when it's two separate things, I think, as far as that silly contest and then what we do every day in our careers. So that's how
working at CBS, have you ever talked with your coworkers about the mental imbalance that is Jim Nance?
We've always had a theory that he's wrapped a little tight and that at any moment he could go off. He could be on top of the building.
Oh, please. He does a great job. He keeps them all intact. Are you kidding? He leads
We're a little worried about him. We've had him on the show, 8, 10 times?
All the time he's on the show.
And he's on the show all the time. And we just think that sometimes he's wrapped a little tight, that he could really snap.
No.
You ever see him naked?
I'm always on location, so I'm never around him personally.
You ever see him naked?
No, of course not.
Jim Nance?
So I guess
no,
that rumor
I have not.
That rumor that he, in the Masters Tower?
No, never seen it.
Okay, I guess that's just a rumor.
Do you realize that this your boyfriend, your fiance, if he's an agent, even after he's married you, he's going to keep screwing other people?
Oh, my God.
Well,
agent joke, bada bing.
That's what I mean, right.
Guy, he wouldn't do that.
Well, our agent does.
No.
Our agent also is 90 years old.
How old is your client?
Oh, he cares. Who's one of his big clients?
He actually works in voiceover, so you would never see them.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, really? Hi, Jill. Perhaps I could send you a tape.
You have a lovely voice.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. He works, so he represents people for voiceover work?
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Mike would die to be in cartoons. I'm not kidding about that.
I really, it's a dream come true, but due to my inherent laziness and my lack of ambition, I've never had an opportunity to do. Would he be the right guy to contact for that?
Absolutely.
Watch this. Listen to this. This is a standard cartoon laugh. I want to get your opinion of it, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Ready.
You'll pass this along to your fiance, all right? What do you think of that?
Good.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Thank you all very much. Thank you. I'm here all week.
We'll have to name that cartoon character.
I could do any cartoon character. It really is a dream of mine.
I'd call him Horny.
Horny the Clown?
Horny the Clown. Jill, you're on TN. You're on TNN.
Right.
Now listen, when you wake up in the morning, do you say, TNN, that's the Nashville Network? Because they changed the name, right?
It's the National Network. Yeah.
The National Network.
Now that they're the National Network, do they still have Shotgun Red?
They have all kinds of new things now. We moved from Nashville to New York, so they're out in New York now, and they're just really trying to change the image. It's called, what do they say? Their tagline is, We've Got Pop.
We've Got Pop. Well, you've got Pop.
Are they getting, so they're getting rid of all the country guys?
There's less country. I guess they still have CMT, the country music channel, but that's different, I think. But, yeah, it's changed a lot. They have some new programming, and,
it's basically Viacom taking over the world.
Listen, don't be offended, Jill.
Exactly.
Please don't be offended that we love you so much.
Oh, why would I be?
Due to our you know, googly kind of adoration of you, is it making this interview awkward at all?
No, it's fun. It's actually fun.
Now, be honest with me, because I can take honesty. Are you going to hang up the phone and call the CBS publicist and how could you put me on the air with those two dicks?
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
No,
would you ever come on again?
I'm
going to
hang up the phone and call my fiance and tell him I found a great client for him.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. You're set.
Oh, fantastic. And we can play golf when you come to Washington.
Right. That's right.
I'd love to take you out on the golf course.
Yes.
I really would. And does your fiance play?
He does.
Okay, we'll all play golf together.
I mean, that wouldn't be too awkward, Mike.
I'd do it for the voiceover game.
I know you would.
I would, absolutely.
Well, listen, Jill, I do watch you on the arena football on TNN, and, you know, if you could just take a compliment, you're a one handsome woman.
Well,
and,
thank you.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Be proud of that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because God knows, I mean, if you ever watch ESPN, there's a bunch of women on that channel who should be behind the camera.
Oh, now, you're great.
Not in front of it. I mean, please, have you ever checked out Betsy Ross? I mean, real name. Real name, I'm not kidding.
I know, there's lots of them there. They started it all. They do a great job.
Who's the one I'm thinking of, Charlie? Who's the one I'm thinking of?
Shelly?
Shelly Smith?
Yes, yeah. Hey, but Kenny Mayne. He's gorgeous.
Yes, he's a handsome man.
He's a terrific looking guy.
Charlie Steiner?
Charlie Steiner is, I think, the best looking person on TV. I'm not going to make a distinction between men and women. Charlie Steiner is the best looking human on
TV. Well, my question is, why are we sitting you guys on TV and out from the radio booth?
It's amazing. If you'd ever seen, years and years ago, we actually had a television program.
No, you don't want us on TV. There's a reason that we're on the radio, Joe. And now, the last question.
I love the voices.
Thank you. The last thing I have to ask you is, and I understand that you don't want to take our sex quiz. Is it that you don't want to take it, or is it that CBS doesn't want you to take it?
Why do I need to take a sex quiz for? That's my question.
Well, all kinds of celebrities have taken it. Bonnie's taken it.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Bernstein.
Right.
We've had Sipowicz, who was one of our most recent takers.
Didn't Melissa Stark take the test?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure she did.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had Leah Remini from The King of Queens took the test. We've had a presidential candidate take the test. I'm trying to think who else we've had.
But if you don't want to take it, that's okay.
Because we adore you anyway.
I think I'll pass.
She's going to pass.
You're going to pass on
that's
that.
All right. That's
okay.
Great.
All right. Well, listen. Please say hello to Crook and Chase. They're great on TNN, and we will watch you on Arena Football, and thank you for coming on our show.
Yeah, I think Washington's getting a team soon, so we'll be seeing you there.
All right, come out and play golf.
Exactly. I'd love
and
that.
Remember,
nice to meet you guys.
Don't forget about the cartoon voice.
Nice to meet you. Hey, just before you hang up, just cough once if you really hate our guts.
I don't hate you at all.
Okay, we're very heavy, but you have noticed our intense paranoia.
Yeah, what's that about?
Well,
we're having a great time. I think it's fun.
Nice. I think if you saw us, you'd probably understand the paranoia.
Oh.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Yes, well, keep watching. Like I said, get those viewers to watch the AFL. It's interesting.
Absolutely.
We will. And just know that when you're on, I'm 1 inch away from the screen.
Okay. Okay. I'll signal to you.
Please.
Look for the signal this Sunday.
I got a special signal you can give me.
What?
You don't want to know it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right.
I'll Thanks, try. Jill.
Thanks Thank you, lot, Jill. Guys. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
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 Wow. Well, could she sound any sexier on the phone?
She's such a piece of ass.
I mean, she really did. I mean, even when she was kind of like
she is such
not receiving our compliment, you know, she was handling it as well as she could. But that kind of, you know,
such a POA.
And Rob, you're not too distracting. Where's the one sign Rob was holding?
Rob wasn't holding up a sign. Rob drew breasts and bush and was putting him in.
Look at this sign he's holding up for me. The red letter C. And he wrote, flashing neon. And he even put, like, dimensions 36 feet high.
My goodness.
So I don't think that she's a C at all. Like,
not at all. Wonderful. It was nice talking to her.
I think she's a pipe. You know, Christ. You know, let's face it. She's on that channel.
Christ.
God, I hit my tooth again. She's on that channel because, you know, all right, she's a good reporter, but she's not a pig.
How come she isn't doing more NFL stuff?
She does do NFL stuff.
But not a lot, not as much as...
Well, you watch this year, they're going to move her up.
They're going to move her up?
They're going to move her up.
Good, long overdue.
Watch out, Bonnie. That's all I can say.
Bonnie.
Bonnie's still my favorite, but Jill's moving right up.
I'd play golf with her and her husband.
Sure.
I would. I swear to God I
know, because you would do anything to get into the world of voiceovers and cartoons.
Whose ass would I kiss the most?
I
kissed his
ass.
Right. Jill, nice butt. You know something? You are a good putter.
The ideal situation would be a contract with Hanna-Barbera and a threesome.
All right, well, there she is. I count that as an awkward interview.
Not me.
I count that. Don't you, Charlie?
Yeah.
Awkward. Very awkward. You would think a woman that's probably her calling on Charlie's cell phone right now.
Hi, listen, Charlie.
This is Jill Arrington. I have never been as offended as I was when I talked to those guys, and I'm sure I'm going to be more offended when I hear it tonight on WNEW in New York.
Listen to me. If you're going to put me on with baboons, take me to the zoo.
I thought I was going to talk about my TNN show, and I didn't even tell her they should really change the name of the channel when she's on the TNA channel.
I think you got that through when you referred specifically to the black top.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen. Jesus Christ, you wore a halter top.
There you go.
On the sideline of the Florida Gators game. Yeah. And I mean,
okay. Baby. Baby.
Oh, that is cold. All right. And, you know, from now on, I'm just going to put celebs on the spot like that. If they don't want to answer the sex quiz,
right.
I'm going to ask them so people don't call us later and say, how come she didn't take the sex quiz?
That's fair.
That's why she didn't.
She sounded a little bit, I don't want to be mean, but her vocal qualities are similar to those tapes that we had a few weeks ago. Remember the tape, the CD that we got?
Oh, yeah. You mean of the girls having sex?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that person needed a voiceover artist. Maybe. She was doing a favor for her fiance.
All right, well, thank you to Jill Arrington.
God,
so hot. I mean, really, really. J.O. material all the way.
Yeah. Fantastic. Good to have people like that on TV.
And a great reporter.
She's no Robin Roberts, though.
Mm-hmm. Who is?
Hi.
We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm all wet. I just got a shower. Sorry, I'm not wearing any clothes.
Two guys so white, they show movies on them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here we are in Portland, Maine, radio station WZAN. We'll have a live Las Vegas-style show tonight from the State Theater. Full report on that on Monday's episode. See everybody.
It takes so little to amuse this crew.
True.
For 2 hours.
At the show tonight.
Yeah, I hope nobody's AWOL.
Now, listen, Mother's Day. I'm absolutely screwed, blued, and tattooed.
I'm feeling a great deal of pressure myself.
That the deal with Frida is that it is a national holiday.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it, and she deserves it. She's a great mom.
True.
However, Frida will not let me off the hook with flowers.
Right.
candy, monkey grams, bear grams.
How about a new car?
Well, I just got her one not too long ago, although that does not seem to count.
That's right, a brand new car.
That's a
so
great car.
I keep putting it off, and I was thinking I'll get something on Wednesday for her. Well, no, wait, no, that's not right. I'll get something on Thursday for her. No, that's not right. Well, I'll get something in Portland. Then I got to Portland, and I see that all they got in Portland is the same crap they had at home, where there's a Staples across the street from the radio station.
Have you thought about live lobsters?
No,
you know, you
work.
Can ship them anywhere in the country.
No, that doesn't work either. So I believe that what I'm going to do tomorrow on the way back from the airport,
right,
is that I've never done this, wait to the last possible minute.
Sure.
Just stop at the mall on the way home and hope, hope against hope that something catches my eye.
How about a tray of cheeses?
Doesn't work with Frida.
All right.
Doesn't work with Frida. Now, you haven't gotten anything for Laura yet either, right?
Well, with Laura, it's more a question of what I'm going to do for the day. And she said to me, she said, well, you decide. And that immediately put me in a tough situation. She said she wants to spend it with the whole family, which means, because I offered initially, I said, you go do what you want, and I'll take the girls, and you have a day. She said, no, I want to do it with the family. And then it was something along the lines of, the comment was something along the lines of, well, you know, I don't know. You tell me. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm totally at a loss. I thought that, I said, how about we get a babysitter and you and I, this was so stupid, we'll get a babysitter and you and I go off and play golf.
Oh, yeah, that's a Mother's Day gift.
She saw right through that and she said, you know, we were going to do that anyway. And I'm like, oh, okay, so it's got to be something special. But my problem is Laura's birthday is next week.
Ooh.
And because it's the middle of the week, her birthday's on May 15th, and because it's the middle of the week, I have to, I'm suggesting that we combine.
No.
Boy, I just went to school there.
A critical mistake.
All right, okay.
You know that from anybody who has a birthday around Christmas time, that nothing pisses them off more when they get one present and they say, this is going to be for both days combined.
Oh, okay. So I have to do the separate thing, and then midweek, because she's going out of town next weekend. So midweek, I'll have to have the birthday celebration?
Yes.
All right, so keep it Mother's Day on Sunday.
Yes.
Totally exclusive, but I really have no earthly idea what to do that would make it special. She said, maybe, you know what she said to me, maybe we could go out and have something to eat.
Okay, you know what, translated,
what does that mean?
Translated, here's what it means. What she wants is for you to wake her up on Mother's Day morning.
She liked it, I think, on her birthday when I got her the Pop-Tart.
Sure.
Who wouldn't?
Okay, you start the day with eggs with coats and hats or whatever the thing is that you make.
So a homemade breakfast?
Yes. And then what she wants is you take care of the kids.
Right.
You do all the crap with the kids. You get them cleaned up and everything. And then you pile into the family truckster.
Right.
And ideally, I think what she would like would be for you to take them out like on a picnic or something where you've already done everything. You've already got all the food together.
All right.
You've already got the kids together.
She'd love that.
And all she has to do is kick back. And I have a theory about this because I've tried this with Frida.
Right.
That girls don't really like this. But what they like is the thought of it.
Right. So like a picnic where maybe I like bring a blanket and we all like go to a park.
Yes.
And we lay the blanket out and like get the bags with the burgers in them out in the...
No. You gotta like go to Sutton Place Gourmet or go to Giant and get some nice prefab food.
Like a tray of cheese.
Not a tray of cheese. But I'm telling you that once I did it with Frida.
But that there's got to be a gift involved too, right? Or do you think if I did that I'd be able
that's
to...
That's gift enough.
God, I hope she's not listening.
Because
right
you know what it is? You got to think of it's the gift of the mind. You're giving of the heart, and you're going to find out the same thing that I did. And I did this 8-9 years ago with Frida. I did this exact same thing. One day I just said, honey, we're going, you know, we're doing all the stuff I don't like to do today. We're going to go outside. We're going to be in nature. We're going to spread a blanket out. We're going to have a picnic. We're going to toss the frisbee.
You know what's going to happen right now? If I do that, she could conceivably do this to me, where I would get the blanket, I get in the family truckster, I lay the blanket out, I put all the food out, and halfway through the meal she said, this is terrific, I'm so glad Don thought of it.
Well,
that's
no
what she would do to me.
Yeah, but listen, I'm going to tell you the bottom line on this, and you're going to find this out years from now.
Yeah.
When I finally did this for Frida,
yes,
after we had been sitting out on this blanket for about 30 minutes being eaten by insects.
Right.
And looking at all the other morons like us who spent the Mother's Day out at a park.
Right.
I realized, hello, she really doesn't like it.
Ah.
You know what she liked? She liked
the thought,
the concept of it.
And if so, really, in its purest form, the thought that counts.
And all you have to do is give it to her once.
How about if I do it and I also wear, like, a white suit?
Yeah,
like a Great Gatsby suit.
And a straw bowler hat.
Yeah.
I didn't go that far.
And a canoe. And I paddle around with the canoe.
But all I know is that the one time that I did it, ever since I did it,
right,
I never get asked for it again.
See, my problem is I'm really good at paying other people to do things, and rather labor-intensive.
And you know what? I've also learned that you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't, like, go to the spa, the salon.
Why can't life be a little less complicated?
And get the gift certificate. Golden Boy, sometimes you're going to do it. And you know what I'm afraid that I'm going to have to do?
Golden Boy doesn't like that.
You know what my fallback position is going to have to be?
What's that?
If I can't find something at the mall tomorrow,
what?
My fallback is going to have to be that I get tickets, like, to a show.
Oh, no.
That you actually go to on Sunday?
Or sometime in the near future.
But won't that be, I know your wife, if you get tickets to a show,
no.
That's like cutting something out of a magazine and
no,
giving somebody a picture.
No, it's not. Not if I get something like tickets to the goddamn producers in New York, you know.
Right.
If I go to a ticket broker or something and I get the tickets and
right.
I say, this is the date.
Those are the only people that have the tickets.
This is the date that we're going and it's going to be you and me and we're going to go see that fag show and I'm not going to complain.
Right.
And I'm going to have a good time and I'm going to enjoy the 3.5 hours in a theater watching Matthew Broderick sing to Nathan Lane.
And if you thought that you were close quarters on that airplane, what do you get in your average Broadway theater seat?
But I think that might have to be the card that I play.
Not bad.
I think generally with these broads, these broads that we're married to.
These broads we're talking about here.
I think that the deal is they want this stuff, but in reality, they know it sucks. But they just want you to make the effort. And once you make the effort and they realize it sucks, even with you there, they'll back off.
They're not craving their pleasure. They're craving your displeasure.
You know what's really bad?
It's true.
But wait a minute. What's really bad right now is everything you're telling me, I mean, I'm taking it more to heart than most of the stuff you tell me.
I would do it.
And I'm
because I've done it.
But now I'm going to feel like I'm cheating. I feel like, I know you're giving me advice, but because we're on the radio talking about this, I feel like I'm cheating right now. Like,
but I've learned it through years of mistakes.
Like, I am going to take the core of your idea. I'm going to try to make it my own, but I am really seriously going to do something like that because I think that is exactly the solution that I was looking for. I was completely lost about this holiday, and I think that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Do you know what one time I gave her? I actually went and thought about a gift.
The blanket in the front yard wouldn't go, right?
No, you got to take her to a park.
A park.
You got to take her to a park.
Why do they have parks?
One time, I went to this store, and I saw that they had a rose, a real live rose, that had been kept in some kind of a big bulbous jar. And I don't know what it is that they filled inside the jar. It wasn't water, and it wasn't oxygen, but it was something that allowed the flower, in essence, to live forever.
Wow. Like Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, and I saw this, and I thought, This signifies mother of my child, something that will live forever.
You know what allowed that flower to live forever?
Eternal love.
Plastic.
No, it was a real flower.
Oh, okay, all right.
It was a real flower. So I bring this thing home, and I'm jacked up.
Sure.
And I think, Daddy hit the home run this year. Uh-huh. Are you ready for this?
Right.
And I give it to her, and she opens it up. And you know Frida, she goes like this. She goes... What is this piece of junk?
Well, your wife's very honest about that.
And I said, piece of junk? I thought about this. This meant something to me. And that's when I realized the key to it, stop thinking.
Right.
Just do whatever she wants. Because when you do what she wants, she's not going to want you to do it anymore.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, hey, Mother's Day, you don't worry about a thing.
You leave it up to me.
Leave it up to me. I'll take care of it. That's really what she wants. That's what she said to me, and now I understand it. I might not do exactly that, but I will do something extremely similar, okay?
Do exactly that, and you're a big winner.
I can't do exactly
She's
that.
She's probably not listening.
If I do exactly that, it's your idea.
Do that.
Tickets to Shrek, Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No. I don't think we go to the kids' movie.
No.
Not a movie. You're not going to be in a stinky movie theater.
No. It's an outside thing.
Right.
Where you're watching the kids and your wife kicks back and you get a bottle of wine. And trust me, she'd be like Frida. She's out there for a half hour. She realizes, Jesus Christ, I'm around all these screaming kids. I'm being eaten to death by bugs. I love my husband, but frankly, you know, he's not the greatest conversationalist in the world.
Hey.
And before you know it, no, listen, this is how it goes.
If I put the blanket out and I sit in the car, that would be, because it's probably going to be real hot.
Yeah.
It's going to be mid-70s.
Oh, it is?
Before you know it.
This man's incredible. You're on a roll today. Even though the advanced forecast, you never know that.
Well, I think I had the
Mother's Day. Mother's Day is important in your house. I can tell because you know the advanced forecast.
Frida's trained me. I guarantee. You put your wife in that situation, you're thinking. Going in, you're thinking. It's a minimum 4 hours.
That's fine.
But you know what?
It's going to be shorter?
I'll make you a bet. It's 2 hours tops. And I'm talking 2 hours from leaving your house to you pull back in your driveway.
At any time during the day, if you do that thing, say it's a two-hour commitment, if you do that, and I go back home, is it kosher to take a nap on Mother's Day?
Yes, you're off the hook.
So I can nap?
And the thing is, for a while, you are going to be the golden boy with your wife.
Fantastic.
This is one that you're going to be able to cash in through all the drunken nights and through all of the, you know, whatever it is that you go through. Not all of them, Rob.
All of them.
But it's like a get-out-of-jail card for quite some time.
I'm set.
And here I am giving you this advice when I got dick. I mean, right now, myself, I'm thinking the best I can come up with is tickets to the producers.
You know what I'm going to do? And Laura, quiet. If you're listening, I mean this right now. Turn down the radio.
Oh, right.
I don't want you to know this.
Right, she'll do that.
Do you know what I will do?
What?
I will cook everything. I will make everything, and I won't let her know. I'll do it after she goes to sleep. On Saturday night, I will cook everything. I will prepare everything.
Mistake.
Why?
Because
I'm an extremely accomplished chef.
Get the fancy stuff.
I will make fancy stuff.
No, get the fancy prepared stuff. Mm-hmm. That way there's no chance of effing it up.
You can get it all in one basket.
And
plus, send it to you.
Yes, plus she'll
like
it.
You can go to one of those. You know where I live.
Go to Sutton.
Well, it's a question of access.
Okay, you're going to have to drive a couple of minutes.
You know, seriously, outside of fried chicken, out where I live, you know, there's not much I can put in a basket.
Go like to a Sutton Place gourmet.
Fried chicken wouldn't be that bad, would it? I mean, isn't fried chicken good? I'm serious. Isn't fried chicken
good? No. For a Mother's Day picnic, when you're kissing her ass, you don't want to give her fried chicken.
Right. But I want stuff that I'm going to enjoy eating.
No, again, for this day, and trust me, I've made
spread and all that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Magma that I have to eat.
Yes.
To get that bad chicken salad with grapes and olives.
Oh,
yes, you do. That's right. And you know what I've learned this too? Capers.
Yeah.
Bitches love capers.
I hate that.
I hate that. They love capers.
I hate capers.
I'm telling you.
Who's better than... What the hell is the caper? Is it a pea? Is it an onion? What the hell is a caper?
I don't know, but they love them.
Really, what the hell is a caper?
Listen,
and why is it in food? Because it tastes like S.
I think it's a berry.
I am your Obi-Wan Kenobi on
You're
this.
Good. I'm gonna go with that.
I'm gonna write you out a shopping list.
I'll take it. Let me
of
take
the
it from
bread.
Me. I don't want you to get. You know, look. I want
the bread. The spreads.
I want to give you partial credit. Do you understand? I want to give you. This is where it ends because if you do this, I'm gonna have to give you too much credit, and I'm probably already gonna hear about it. All right.
You
and I respect.
Credit.
I respect. Of course, I have to. You know how we are about credit. You and I are both the same way about credit. I want to give you partial credit. I want to give you a partial credit.
Okay, just give me a partial.
What did
credit.
He write down?
Happy Bitches Day.
Oh God,
Rob. Happy Bitches.
That's from Rob Spiegel.
No. That's from Buzz.
That's from Buzz?
That was a note from Buzz.
Happy Bitches Day.
Simply quoting Don.
Yeah, but I was very pleased to pass it along.
Right.
No, but they do love the capers.
Yeah.
I know they do. And furthermore, I can tell you more great crap to buy.
Really?
There's some crap that you buy that's like almost olive color. And
guacamole.
No. And you spread it. And here's the other thing. You got to buy bread.
That you can spread stuff on.
No, you got to buy bread. And they charge you more for this bread. You could go to Giant and buy a loaf of bread that's been out for a week. And your wife would say, you're disgusting.
Right.
However, you go to a fancy grocery store.
You get the stale bread and they love it.
Yes. And because it's wrapped up in the pretty package.
Right.
You get the bread that's hard as a rock, but it's got the right label on it.
I got it. So, you know, I don't have proximity to some of your fancy stores. It's a little too far away for me, but three words.
Yeah?
Milwaukee's best custard.
Nice.
Okay.
Huh?
You handle it.
It'll be the picnic. It won't be like your zip code. It'll be my zip code, which will be just a little bit more
country style.
Okay. All right.
Good luck.
Well, Tonya,
let me just tell you, in the picnic will be fixins. All right? There will be fixins in the picnic basket.
Don't get the food at KFC.
I won't get it at KFC.
Don't get the food at Popeye's.
It'll be less of a picnic and more of a picnic.
Oh,
all right.
You're not going to do any hunting, are you?
I won't do any hunting, but there might be some game.
Oh. And here I am giving you this advice, and right. I have got dick myself. Yes. I don't know.
Well, I mean, are you going to have to do that, or you just? It sounds to me like you've been that route, so you don't have to do that.
To be honest, I'm just bluffing because Frieda might be listening. I do have a master plan.
Oh, God.
That you're keeping a secret.
Already worked out.
See, with all this advice, if Laura's listening to this right now, and I'll find that out soon enough, I may have to, like, table this whole thing and modify. But I think your general idea
is
something I'm going to have to go that route.
It's right thinking.
Take the exact idea. And the reason that I ask you to take the exact idea is that you'll never have to go that route again.
Right.
You'll never again, because she'll discover what Frieda discovered, that nature is highly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I'm flipping?
I don't think you have a master plan.
I agree.
What you want to bet?
I agree.
I don't want to bet.
I agree. That's his master plan, but he's given it to me, so he's got to come up with another plan, but I don't think he's got it in his mind right now.
You will have a plan. I guarantee you
that. I have got the master plan.
Really?
I've got
it. Right, jot it down. Jot down one of the elements of the master plan, and I will tell you.
Okay.
There we go. I think I know what this is going to be. He's writing down his master plan right now. I think I know what it's going to be. Yes, sirree. I think that'll work just
fine. Same in my house.
Yep. Fantastic.
I'm kidding. Of course, I'm not going to cut off my wife's head.
No, you're not. Of course not.
No, but do you really want to know the master plan, which I have already worked out?
Yeah. Go ahead. Jot it down.
No, this is not a gag.
All right.
I swear to God, not a gag.
Good. I'm just waiting with bated breath.
The real plan.
And what is bated breath, really, Buzz? What is that? What does that mean? I've always wanted to know. You're the linguist.
Know.
You don't know.
It's like stilted breath. Like,
oh.
Like that. Really excited. No, not bated. Emphysemic. Bated. That's Shemp.
Bated breath. He works here. We saw Shemp here. I don't know where he is. Shemp works here at WZAN in
so
Portland.
So many famous people work here. Gene Levy.
Don is actually really writing down what the idea is.
Quite a plan.
And you know, if he's keeping it a secret.
Okay, one is a joke.
All right.
He can't help himself.
Buy duct tape. Why is duct tape involved
There's
in that?
There's two P's in nipple clamps.
Dig hole in pine barrens.
Right, they're out of order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But that is what I am truly doing. And she does not have a freaking idea that that's coming. She doesn't have an idea.
You know, you really.
And you know how I've
set it up? You're
going
to talk about this on Monday. You make it.
You know how I've set it up so perfectly? I've set it up so perfectly because I've said to her repeatedly, I'm going to be so tired on Saturday when I get back.
Right.
We're doing all this traveling. On Saturday, all I want to do Saturday is chill out. She's even said to me, do you want to go up the street to have dinner with the neighbors on Saturday night? And I've said, no, because I'm going to be so white, I'm just going to want to come home and go to sleep.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
That's
my plan, and that plan is already cemented.
That's terrific.
Already done.
That's terrific.
Taken care of. Take a look, Rob. Wow. Okay?
Yeah. Isn't that special?
Yeah.
I mean, got it covered.
I still
pretty awesome.
Yeah. Listen.
You have a plan.
Happy Bitches Day. She's the greatest mother in the world. She is.
Yeah.
She deserves that.
I'm getting Carrie a chair.
I know you are.
She's picking it out.
All right, you know what? You know how competitive I am, right?
Uh-oh.
You can't beat that.
I don't think I can
beat
that.
You can't beat that on
but
such
I
short
can't,
notice.
But now I'm not going to... You know what you gave me? You gave me the watered-down advice there. You gave me the... You know, here you are telling me, this is what I think you're doing.
Well, I did that years ago.
And then
kid is 16 now. Your kid is what? One is 5 and one is 3?
And you hand me that piece of paper with that. You know, my God, that's like something you'd see Robin Leach talk about.
Oh, come on, please.
That's
okay,
awesome.
First off, okay, this right here?
Right.
This is... I don't have to pay for it, okay?
Well, don't go. Look, it's fantastic. Don't keep talking.
All I have to do is tip.
It's good. It's terrific.
This cost me nothing.
Right. But,
okay?
it's remarkably thoughtful.
This?
Right.
All right. That?
Yeah.
That cost me nothing. And there's no way it's really lasting all night.
Robin Leach would never do it.
I mean, it'll last 5 minutes.
Right,
it won't last all night.
But that's, I think we are all impressed.
Yeah, we are. Got it covered. You got to know Mother's Day is the major, major holiday.
You do.
Yeah.
You know that. See, and because I got the birthday that following week, I'm going to, I can't go.
Double trouble for you.
I know.
Double trouble.
But thank you for the advice, and I will tailor something around that idea.
And Robbie, what are you doing? I can help
a
you.
Chair.
What
a
do
chair.
You, oh, that's right, a chair. You got to
But go. Also, I'm buying some flowers and continuing the work in the yard, which is really not common for me, and that's something of a
invention
of my time.
Way to go to the well.
All right.
I'm sorry. No chicken, though.
Let's break.
I'm good.
Kara, I'm going to work in the yard.
Let's break. Charlie, do we have the web results when we come back? Yes, from yesterday's Big Callen Show. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. Here's our staff announcer to tell you more.
Hi, I'm Pete Johnson, the wacky engineer from the Don and Mike Show. You like breasts? How about some nice cooter? Would you get a flash looking at some gash and join Don and Mike in their Las Vegas-style show? The big show is tonight at the Fables State Theater in Portland, Maine. You got to be 21 to get in. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Like TNA, like DMV, come to the show. Condoms optional. For the Don and Mike Show, I'm Pete Johnson.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
Now go F yourself.
Don't miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
They don't bum on her case while whistling. Don and Mike.
Yeah, we're in Portland today.
Yeah.
Doing the show for the beautiful station of WZAN, the beautiful studios of the beautiful station, WZAN.
Wow.
Tonight, we'll be at the State Theater. Never mind. I'm not even going to talk about that.
No need.
Good. I'm not even going to talk about that. What are you doing, Rob?
That's Rob's screenplay.
They have all these letters on the wall.
For Sunday.
These letters on the wall that spelled out WZAN and...
WGAN 970.
Yes, and what we did was we broke the letters apart
and we spelled different words because we had to, because we just had to.
One of the words we spelled was anal.
Anal, right.
And I put... Wow, anal.
Then
and
Rob just rearranged them to say anal mom.
And I mean, these are gigantic letters that have like Velcro on the back of them, and they are sticking against the wall here in the studio.
Right.
And the people at the station are going to be very pissed that we took their station logos and we've turned them into awful words.
Nothing a little glue won't help.
Right. Well, I don't know. You go with wow anal or anal mom. Mm-hmm. Either way, go for Mother's Day.
Yes. I still like wow anal.
I'll change it back.
Thank you, Rob.
But you know what? I think for Mother's Day, that's not a bad way to go.
Take a look at that, though, when he rearranges it again.
How about
it just makes it wacky.
Make the letters wacky.
There you go.
You know, if only we had an exclamation.
Right.
Yeah. It could be, wow, anal.
Well, you know, you could make an exclamation point.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Rob. Hey, Wendell, do you have a knife or something? Come on, you've got like...
You guys, we're going to get in trouble.
Hey, you know what? Look at the piece of equipment Wendell's got on.
We'll be able to. We'll pay to replace these. No problem.
No, I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it.
All right, I'll take a phone call. While Rob is going to cut. Rob, be careful now.
Don't cut into your leg.
Listen, let Wendell cut that.
No.
That's
doesn't
jump.
Want to even do it. Hold on.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Hi there, my friend.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Did you know that you're in the whitest state in the Union?
Yes.
And we saw you. I saw you in your white limo on your way to the to your radio station.
Well,
wave back.
Well, maybe we didn't see you.
Oh, I honked and everything. I saw you with your stogie.
All right. Well, thank you for stalking us.
Are you coming to the big? Are you coming to the big show, sir?
Unfortunately, I can't.
Oh, we'll get off the phone then.
Yeah, we don't want to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
It is unfortunate.
Lisa, let's try another one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say how much we appreciate you coming to Portland, and I hope you are getting very excellent treatment.
We are getting treated very well. The people at the radio station are terrific.
And you know why they're terrific?
Why?
We've not seen them for the last 3 hours. That's what we like the best. That's
right.
Beautiful.
They're allowing us to vandalize their letters, and no one's running in here. It's just delightful.
It's beautiful. See you tonight at the show.
Yes, I hope to. As long as once I get to Kate's Fed dinner, I'm on my way.
All right, my friend.
Yeah. See, welcome to Maine.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little worried about filling that room tonight.
There you go.
Just a little worried. Now, listen, I do want to give you the update on Leah Remini. I started this about an hour ago and got off track.
Very good.
There is no update on Leah Remini.
She has not called.
Lisa told me that yesterday, after we had what I thought was an honest and emotional discussion with Leah.
Yes.
That, and it's funny because when we have Leah on the show, especially when we have her on for a long time, like a half hour or an hour,
mm-hmm.
the audience is really split. People contact us, and they either love it that she's on,
right,
or they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a lot of people saying, it's great, you're such good friends with Leah, she's a wonderful addition to the show. And then some people call and write us and say, how can you have the lady from the TV show on for an hour? God, it's so boring to hear her all the time.
And I don't understand that because, of course, we love having Leah on the show.
Okay.
We really do.
So yesterday we had the discussion about Leah going on Big Bird Show and how that would bother us.
Right.
And it was amazing. I talked to Lisa, and she said that the calls, and of course people get emotional, get caught up in the heat of the moment, but most of the calls revolved around one topic, and that topic was that you and I were both Judas.
Yeah, because we were traitors.
Yes, we were traitors.
Wow. Rob, you're going to have to turn that exclamation point upside down. Just so the wide end is down at the bottom.
There you go. Now it says, wow, anal.
What do you think?
You know what? No, I think the exclamation point should go after wow. It should be,
yeah.
Wow.
Yep, that's great.
Anal.
No, but turn it upside down again.
Right, yeah.
Whoops, hold on.
And the letters that we're using, W-O-W-A-N-A-L,
uh-huh.
they just happen to be the letters that are in the call letters.
And the L is actually a 7 that's turned upside down.
Yeah, they're in the call letters of W-Z-A-N and W... What's the other station?
G-A-N.
W-G-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not using the G at all.
No. Rob's doing a fine job with this. It is completely distracting.
I know. Well, don't look at it.
I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I'm talking about how we're Judas here.
I know, Judas.
A lot of people think we're Judas.
Because of the whole thing where we were going to go on Yes Dear.
Yes, and for other reasons.
We've been on Yes Dear, in a way.
One of the things that was said yesterday was, well, wrestler Mankind apparently was on Big Bird's show yesterday, and how come Mankind was on Big Bird's show and on our show and we didn't care?
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that, frankly, we are friends with Leah.
Yes.
Yours. Yes, she's ours, Buzz. That's
and it
right.
would creep us out. The word I used was creep us out. That was the whole thing, and that was the issue. And I thought we were very honest about it. We were very mm-hmm. upfront about it with Leah, and I think she understands, too.
Well, apparently a lot of people hate us because of it, and we'll see how it plays out. I guess my point in bringing this up is that we don't have an answer yet
right.
from Leah. As soon as she contacts Charlie, we'll let you know.
And we'll see what happens with that because it might be a bigger thing than we think it is. You never know.
We'll see.
But stuff like that tends to grow here.
But we stand by what we said yesterday, and if we're Judas-like, well... You know, so be it. I don't
say Levy.
I don't think we're Judas-like. I just think we got a thing about, you know, she's identified with our show.
Right. Incidentally, when we were going to get involved with that show, Yes Dear, we were also upfront about that with Leah.
You were.
In fact, we asked her permission.
Yeah, and well, no, she was upfront with us.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't ask our permission, but she told Charlie.
Right.
Well, wasn't that it, Charlie, that...
No, I'm just comparing on the Judas side of us doing that. We were very open and honest with Leah about it, and so if they're saying that we went behind her back...
And frankly, if you want
to... the Yes Dear, we did not do that.
And if you really want to be honest, we just used the Yes Dear, like,
as leverage.
As a negotiating ploy to get Leah to give us speaking roles on her TV show.
And it worked.
Yeah, right, it worked.
Well, obviously, so. She wasn't all that upset.
All right, but anyway, listen, you know, we love Leah Remini, and I'm sure she'll make the... right decision.
She will.
Yesterday on the show, we had the big talent show.
Right.
And we have now some information from the website, www.donandmikefans.com.
The votes are in and they've been tabulated.
Yep. Charlie tells me that you can go there. And what, they have still pictures now, Charlie? Right. They got still pictures up. Yesterday, the site, and then now they had some problems handling all the traffic.
Okay.
They had over 32,000 hits, and those people that got online that were able to get through saw
4 million plus images.
Wow.
That were broadcast during the show yesterday.
That's terrific.
Keeping in mind it's a work in progress, and you know, the next time we do a webcast, we're gonna have better cameras.
Good.
Hopefully we're gonna be able to speed it up a little bit to give you a, you know, faster turnaround.
Right.
But we did not announce the winner of the online talent poll because we wanted to leave it open until 11 o'clock last night so that the people from WNEW could vote.
Very good.
And as it turns out, the people from WNEW did alter the voting.
Oh. They did.
Yes.
Okay.
Last night between 7-11, as the show aired in New York City, the biggest winner, now he didn't win the contest, but the biggest gainer was the guy who paints with his penis.
Boom.
Wow. The guy who paints with his penis went from 0.3%.
I'm astonished.
Of the total votes to 9.7% of the total votes. He went from 10th place to 3rd place.
He's the guy that left early, right, Charlie?
Yeah.
He split.
Yeah. I guess the results from Greenwich Village are in. Coincidentally, the ass guy, he went down.
Oh, okay.
The guy who put his ass into the moving fan.
How did Goldfish Boy do?
The Goldfish Boy lost audience.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
And I'm here to tell you now that according to your votes on DonandMikeShow.com, DonandMikeFans.com, yesterday on our talent show, the winner of $500 is Erin, the woman who made her boobs dance to music.
Wow. How about that?
You know, totally different than the way we voted it on the show.
Incredible.
And I think yesterday, at the end of the show, was she in first place at the end of yesterday's show?
Yes.
You know, I think I've got that somewhere. Maybe she was?
Yes.
She was. She ended up with 39.4% of all votes.
People love those bouncing breasts.
Sure. Second place in the online tabulation was, what was that?
Wendell's dying.
What was that? Was that you coughing, Wendell?
Was that coming out of your lungs, Wendell?
I couldn't reach the tuberculosis button fast enough.
Okay.
That really sounded like somebody like hauling an iron grate across a brick patio.
The building is settling.
Testing!
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 Those are my lungs, O'Mara.
Testing.
Mike, come up to my room. I'll duct tape you. Mike, come up to my room.
Oh,
I'll make you my pink bunny rabbit.
Come up. The slightest hint of a strange look after I said that, and I thought, oh.
Yes.
Then I opened the door.
Yes. Mike, come to my room for a nightcap.
Very perceptive.
You're on the 12th floor, I'm on the 11th.
Very perceptive.
Why don't you come down to my room for a drink? Testing!
Testing!
All right, second place in the online poll. The guys who won on the show yesterday, Mike and Nadia.
Very good. Very deserving couple.
The topless woman who fed live worms to her husband, Mike, they got 32% of the vote. Online poll, third place was the penis Picasso.
Yeah, he did very well.
Fourth place, the guy who ate 45 light goldfish in melted butter.
That's the one I disagree with. I think he should have finished stronger, but I guess it was seeing it, up close and personal.
Yeah. Fifth place, the woman who nursed herself. The woman who put her legs behind her head and nursed herself.
With the incredible aureolus.
Sixth place, the guy who stopped the fan with his ass. Seventh place, the guy who puked. Eighth place, the guy who got hit in the stomach. And last place was the guy who put his fist in his mouth.
Very good. Well, there they are. There are the results on the web.
So those are the online results. And Charlie tells me if you go to, it's www.donandmikefans.com. They have still pictures up now.
Yes, they do.
Of each of the acts. Beautiful. We'll go there and check it out, and thank you for participating in that.
Yeah, thanks to everybody that voted. That's terrific. It's a new thing for us, and it went very well.
And I think the next time we have a major event, we're going to put it on the web and see if we can. We've already planned about getting more cameras in the studio, getting some higher resolution.
Excellent.
And see if we can do it a little bigger and just a little better. Now, we got a break now. We'll be right back with a Friday favorite after that.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, this is Furio Giunta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Full of Duplay on Andre, The Don and Mike Show.
Right Right Live in Portland, Maine today. Tonight at the Las Vegas Style Show, we're expecting the dog catcher from Portland, Maine, Mike's cousin Teddy, to come out.
No, we're not. No.
And now next Friday,
yes,
you'll be able to bust balls the opposite way.
Right.
When we're in Ocean City.
And your whole family will be there.
Yes, they will. And unlike yours, I expect all the members of my family to actually show up at the show.
At the Las Vegas Style Show?
I believe so.
Oh, my God. Well, that won't be too uncomfortable.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
I think even my mother and father-in-law want to come to the show.
Cool. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I know.
It'll be fun.
And no, Rob, Big Frida will not be competing in any of the contests.
Really?
Hey, we could make it a real family feud.
Yeah.
Hey. Watch it, you.
Watch it.
Tonight, we're going to be at the State Theater in Portland, Las Vegas-style show. What did the Dobie Gillis, the PD, just tell you?
The PD came up to me, said they are already lined up two blocks for the show, so if you're planning on coming out, I believe the whole thing tonight is first come, first serve, so you might want to get down there ASAP to get a good seat at the State Theater for the Las Vegas Style Show.
All right, see you there. We'll be in Ocean City next week, and then the following week, back to New York to WNEW, and for the first time ever, we'll play strip trivia with New Yorkers.
Yes, New York City folk.
Live in the studio, and yes, we're working on a webcast for that now, a Friday afternoon favorite.
It's game time now, and
day
of day with cash for you and me.
But frankly, I'm a little uptight that this guy's coming in because I've heard he's pissed off, and rightly so, because we've had some harsh things to say about him and his family recently. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
Please welcome
how you doing?
Anthony Soprano.
How you doing? It's good to see you.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm all right. I heard there's a chance you were busting my balls.
Well, the show...
No, let's get
the show.
Let's clear the air.
You want to
clear the air right now?
I'll clear it now.
I know you're clear. I heard what everything you said.
Well, what did I say?
What do you mean, what are you? You know
what
did
my money? What did
we
say?
Money. You kill me right now. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be develop a friendship with your program. I come on your program several times. We talk to each other. You ask me questions, and then you bust my balls behind my back. You tell the Sopranos not going good. I mean, what's your problem? I tell you right now, it makes me angry, you know that? It just makes me seriously angry. I swear to God, it makes me so angry. I just want to reach over there right now. I want to take your throat, pull it right out through your nostrils. Right.
You know, this is exactly what's wrong with the show.
What?
On your show, The Sopranos?
Yeah, what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong.
All you do now is threaten.
You're the effing expert.
All right? You do is threaten.
Yeah.
You don't do anything.
Check out this guy. You told me everything was going wrong, you know?
Well,
we're going to do runners, outside chance. You're going to be a package in a trunk.
The Mercedes girl, first off.
Yeah, Mercedes girl.
She's answering the phone in your boat and you don't get mad at her?
I got real pissed at her. I told her that. I said, don't answer the phone on the boat on the Stugatz. I said, don't pick up the phone on the Stugatz, for God's sakes. Wait a minute. You think she's a character that's got to stay with the show. You know, come on. I still got to bang
her. And you told her that the Russian chick was on the phone?
I told her that because I was trying to be honest. What's your point?
What about when she threw the London broil at you?
I'll tell you, I got the back of the head
with a steak.
I got to be real honest with you. I don't like what I'm hearing here. I'm not sure I like the direction of this conversation.
Frankly, I think that the Tony Soprano...
I will not have a drink with you tonight. I will not drink with you tonight. I will stay at my table. I will eat my ziti. I will not have a drink with you tonight. It's all, you know, I got to tell you something. You're blaming me. You're blaming the wrong guy. I'm not the guy that's doing this. I'm not the guy that effed it up.
Who, David Chase?
Jesus Christ, I'm not the guy that effed it up. You don't know the thing. Paulie Walnuts is the guy. Paulie Walnuts is the guy. He's the guy that effed the whole thing up. You want to talk to Paulie?
They've ruined that, too.
You want to talk to Paulie?
Is he here?
Yeah, Paulie's down the hallway. Go get the good guy. Hey, Paulie.
Bring him in.
Paulie.
Oh, let's get the satin finished tea. We got a problem with the package.
I can't do him. He's going to leave now.
See you later, Don.
Bye, Paulie. Okay, I'm back. There we go. We tried it. All right.
Hey, James.
Yes, yeah, I'm right.
All right, Tony.
Yeah, look.
Hey, listen. Hold on.
What?
Talk in your James Gandolfini voice for a second.
Hi, how are you?
Can we drop the Tony Soprano thing for a second?
Absolutely.
You understand my criticisms of the show?
They're valid. you know, I understand you've got some problems with the show. We've been on the air, you know, enough time to where it's difficult to do, you know, the same kind of stuff that we've normally done. So what I'd like to do is expand the characters. And right now I understand your concerns that it's not working as well.
Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you.
Wow. For instance,
you've always been a pretty astute judge of you know, of our program.
The rape of Dr. Melfi. How come you guys never came back to that?
I can't control the content. It's difficult for me to control the content and you know, to tell all the people exactly what they're supposed to do. So what I try to do is just do my lines and do the best job I can and try to get the character development. And sometimes it doesn't go where I want it to go. But I understand your concerns. You're a very loyal fan of the show.
I do love it. Can I talk to Tony again?
Yeah, hold on just a second.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's your problem? You're so full of crap right now. I'm trying to do the show each and every week. I'm trying to come in there. I bust my balls so bad to do the entertainment that you want, and you just sit there and go, "Yeah, it's not that kind of show. It's bring AJ back, bring the kid back."
No, listen,
Melvin with the radio. F you right now, okay? F you and the horse you rode in on right now. I swear to God, you don't know how powerful I am. I can make life difficult for you. You understand that?
I was just talking to Jim Gandolfini. Do you know him?
You know something? I got people who can move in on this radio show right now, and it won't be the Don and Mike show anymore. You know what it'd be? It'd be the Tony and Tony show. That's exactly what it would be. You know, we just come in slowly but surely. We sell everything on the show, sell all the equipment, sell Rob, sell Buzz, you know, and we just take over slowly but surely. We squeeze you out, and then all of a sudden, you know, all we have to do is get you into a, you know, a few gambling tests. You know what I mean? Just, okay, I don't have to tell you about that.
Do you know this guy I'm talking about, Jim Gandolfini?
Yeah, I know Jim Gandolfini.
Okay, he just came in and told me his opinion.
He's a pussy.
For instance,
he's a big pussy.
The rape of Dr. Melfi.
Yeah, the rape of Dr. Melfi. What about
it? It was totally ignored by the show, and Jim Gandolfini just admitted to me that he agrees it's a gigantic mistake. You guys never went back to it.
What do you think? I'm some kind of fag actor here? What do you think I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to do the writing? Why do I give an S? I mean, you're polite. You talk to me about this stuff like that. You got a problem with that. You talk to the people. The things you do. You want to talk to the Russian guys. They're good. You know why we had the Russian guys on board?
Why do you think they have?
Because they make us money. They make us money. That's why we got the Russians on board. Okay, I got Calm. I got Meadows. I got to pay for the school. There's a lot of bills. There's a lot of pressures on me. I got stuff I got to deal with. You understand that?
Don't you think that in previous...
Well, I got the Mercedes lady. I don't care. She's got a temper. She's got a great ass. She's got a fantastic ass, quality ass, and I like to squeeze at her. So nice. She's so fantastic. She's crazy.
Don't you think in previous seasons that if a woman had thrown a London broil at Tony Soprano,
you would have either
hit her, killed her,
yeah,
tortured her.
Sure.
You know what you did now?
Yeah, I know. I just walked away and I smiled at her.
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm going to kill her later.
I let the cat out of the bag.
Okay. She's going to be in a lime pit. I'm going to throw the lime on her body. She's going to be out there. She's not going to be a problem. I don't take that crap. The first time she gave me the crap, the first time she gave me some lip, the first time she was looking at me and she said, "Get out of here, you stupid son of a bitch." You remember when she said that to me? I make a mental note. This is what T does, okay? T makes a mental note right up here. He puts it right up in the front of his forehead and he says to himself, She disrespected. And because she disrespected, she's going to end up in a hole in the ground, deep in the ground. But it's winter time. You wait till it's springtime. I'm going to actually go out there. I'm going to dig the hole myself. I'm going to hit her in the head with a shovel.
How did you feel about the entire episode with Christopher and Pauly stuck in the woods for an hour?
I got to talk to Jim about it.
Give me your opinion.
And my opinion is they were a bunch of pussies. They blew it. You know, they were supposed to go out and whack a guy. First of all, Pauly should not have hit the guy in the head in the first place. He hepped the whole thing up. All I want to do is pick up the money for Sill. He picks up the money for Sill. He's got the envelope. He's sitting on top of the entertainment center. What does he do? He hits him with the side of the head. Why? Because he's stupid. He's set the whole thing up. Bunch of efforts. I swear to God, I'd like to rip his throat out.
Let me talk to Jim again.
Hold on just a second. Hey, Jim.
Jim Gandolfini.
Hi. How you doing?
What did you think about the plot with Pauly Walnuts and Christopher stuck out in the woods?
I thought it had good energy. We tried to balance it all out and get everybody involved. And you know, we're trying to have plot lines that involve you know, Christopher and Pauly. And you know, it's something that we hope that we can develop with that. I think it probably had a cartoon-like quality that I might not have put in, but. You know, that's acting and that's writing. There's a tremendous amount of pressure on our writers to, you know, to come up with the right scripts each and every week. It's very, very, very difficult. You have to understand that the delicate issues Obama Sopranos cannot always be put into a perfect box. That's it.
All right, now I have a question for you, James Gandolfini, because I know you're an actor who would try anything.
Fire away, Don. I'm here for you.
If the writers came up with a plot that involved Tony having a gay love affair, if Tony found out...
Tony having a gay love affair, that's amusing.
Yeah, okay, but just humor me for a second.
Sure, I'll humor you.
If they could make it right in the plot...
Make it right.
Could you see yourself doing it, James?
A gay love affair?
Yeah, because I know you're an actor.
Sure. Actors, you know, we lower our inhibitions and we do whatever we need to do. That's it. You know,
right, let me talk to Tony for a second.
Sure, hold on a second. Tony.
Hey, Tony, come here.
Tony, Dom wants you back over here.
Tony.
I overheard that. I overheard that whole thing. That's not happening.
What's not happening?
It's not happening. Just get it in your fat head right now. That crap's not happening. I'm not going to do any of that crap. I'm not going to do that gay stuff.
Why?
I'm going to kiss it. What am I going to do? Eat another guy's you-know-what? That ain't going to happen. Okay, so let's just put that out of your minds right now. Just forget it. Just flush it down the toilet, because I'll tell you right now, Tony Soprano does not do that kind of crap. It's not going to happen. I need something to eat. I need something. Anybody got something to eat? Come on. Give me something to eat.
But I want to tell you something. Apparently, you don't understand the inner workings of Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
If Jim Gandolfini will do it, that means that Tony Soprano would do it.
Look, you're getting into a whole, you're talking about some kind of psychoanalytical...
What are you eating there?
You're talking about some kind of analytical BS that I ain't going to do right now. It's not going
to
happen.
What do you have to eat?
Another piece of pizza. Tony's not going to be a fag. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that. It's a good pie. Who made this pie?
Brick Oven Pizzeria and us.
This piece is from Maine?
South Portland, Maine, yes.
Maine?
Yes.
I didn't know they had pizza in Maine. I thought they just had fish. I can't believe they got pizza. That's pretty good. I'm not going to be a fag.
You won't do a gay love scene.
I don't know where you're going with this, but I'll tell you right now. You're trying to turn me into some kind of guy that
I'm
not.
No, I'm just wondering.
You know, that gets me upset.
I wanted to ask James Gandolfini how far he would go.
Jim Gandolfini, the big pussy, whatever he wants to do, but I'm not going to do the kind of crap that you want me to do right now, because it's really upsetting me. You really started to upset me a lot. I tell you right now, I got pressures.
I want to tell you something.
I got serious pressures, and you are really barking up the wrong tree, Pachango.
You know what you are now, Tony? On our show, you're just like you're on The Sopranos. You're all talking, no action.
I'm all talking, no action. Let me tell you, I can't do action right now, but I'll tell you what I can do. What I can do is a little bit later on. I just go to,
you
know. You
can watch it. You can go to...
I'll tell you right now, I can't do anything right now, but a little bit later on when you're walking down the hallway, you might be going on to your little fancy show tonight. You know, everybody going, oh, I love you. And then you might bark into the wrong guy. You know what I mean? You might rock into the wrong guy. There might be somebody there that'll shake your head and he won't let go, okay?
You know what I do still like about The Sopranos?
What do you still like about The Sopranos? I thought you should like everything about The Sopranos.
I like the scenes when you're wearing your bathrobe.
I love that bathrobe. That's my real bathrobe. I love that thing. That's great. I like the white beater t-shirts. Fantastic. My favorite part is when I get to eat. I like that. You know, that's one of the... We use real food. You know,
usually
do those shows, you get the fake food, but I get to use real food, and that's what I like. I said, look, we're going to have the credible character on the show. What you have to do is provide me some real Italian food. You know, some real pasta fazool, some real ziti. You know, we got to get the real pasta. We got to get the manicata. You know, that's what we got to do.
So, for the record, final question for you, Tony, right now.
Yeah.
The Sopranos, year number three.
Year number three, right. Strong.
Is it as good as the two previous years?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Of course it's as good as... Come on, of course it's as good.
All right,
Let
me talk to Jim.
I don't like these questions. I don't want you talking to Jim. You want to talk to Jim? Go ahead. Right, but I don't like these questions.
Let me talk to Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim Gandolfini.
Get over here right now.
James Gandolfini.
Robert, where's your coat?
Hi, how are you?
First off, do you enjoy wearing the bathrobe and the wife beater on the show?
Well... one of the things I have to do, Don, is wear the bathrobe for so many scenes that it's actually quite stinky. And I don't care for that. You know,
you don't like
I work
it.
Up a sweat when I'm, lots of the hot lights and stuff like that. But it's not the most pleasurable experience I've ever had.
Hmm.
Do you really like the show or do you not?
I'm a fan, but I'm concerned that in my opinion...
I am too.
In my opinion, the show's not as great this year as in previous years. But now you tell me,
really?
You're the star.
Yeah.
Year three, is it as good as year two and year one?
Oh, it's difficult to answer that, Don.
Give me a yes or no.
I'm going to say no.
I think we could do better,
and it's always good to stress the fact that we can do better work, and if we try harder next season, I hope there is a next season. I'll have to talk to Mr. Chase about that. I hope we can get it accomplished, and you'll be satisfied with the product, I hope you enjoy it.
And again, finally, you would do a gay love scene if it meant more growth and development for the character?
Oh, unquestionably. Absolutely. I'd do it with you right here.
Bring Tony back.
If there was a camera.
Bring Tony back in just for a second, because we got to go to a break.
Anthony?
Hey, Tony.
I
don't like this guy. I don't like what I'm hearing right now. I tell you right now.
You'd go fag with me right now if there was a camera here.
Fag. I thought you could try to go fag with me. You're going to have to go through a couple of guys, okay? You have to go through about a .357 Magnum stuck down your throat. That's what's going to happen right now. You're barking up the wrong tree. You're like your friend over there, the Burbank guy, you know? That's the guy you gave me all the fits last time. I got my eye on you, too. You know what happened to you, right?
What happened to me?
Oh, yeah, nothing happened to you.
Okay. Yeah, like everything on The Sopranos.
Exactly.
Nothing happened to him.
Idle threat.
What? Okay, Tony. We got a break.
Yeah.
We're going to play Low Budget Jeopardy right now with the first two callers.
Yeah, go play your game. Play your radio game.
Have some more pizza, Tony. It's good. It's from Portland, Maine. 877.
Hey, it's a good pie.
365-3636.
This is a good pie. This is a pretty good pizza pie.
We'll be right back to play the game.
Tony.
Number one, Arbitron Radio. The Don and Mike Show.
You're getting better. That's the important thing. You look better, too.
If you're going to lie to me, tell me there's a broad waiting in the car. I want to tongue my balls.
Hey, you want that? It's a phone call away.
I'll go on record with you. I don't mind telling you. The Don and Mike Show.
I like that line of this.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be in the front row.
Las Vegas style show.
Yeah, I like that stuff. I like when the girls, get up on the stage and, shake it around. Like, reminds me of Bottom Bing.
Yeah, that's tonight.
Tonight.
Las Vegas style show here in Portland at the State Theater.
It's going to be done at the State Theater. I've been there.
Yeah, we're going to be. Oh, you've been to the State Theater in Portland?
Yeah, it's a nice place. Got pipe water.
You're right. It's got like a 100-year-old Wurlitzer organ.
Yeah, I think you do a good job down there. I think you have a good time. Lots of broad.
I think possibly the only older organ that you're going to see is maybe in Buzz's pants.
There's no Buzz in the old organ. There you go. You got your old organ.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, lots of the TNA, lots of D&B. I like the TNA. I don't like the D&B. Ain't no fag.
Tony, let's play Low Budget Jeff Hardy.
All right. Hi, this is Low Budget Jeff Hardy. The honor of the studio is an investor from Wichita.
Wow.
What is that? All right. Paul Artinez. Or our teams or whatever.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul, come on.
Hey, dude.
Hey, what's going on?
Are you there?
I am. I'm looking for the big money.
All right, there he is. That's Paul.
Yeah, I thought there were two guys talking at the same time. Right there. Our next guy is, who is this guy? He's a technology sales guy from Fairfax, Virginia, where all the guys live. Let's say out of Mark Denning.
Hello,
hey,
Mark.
What's happening?
I know, these are both new guys, right?
Yeah, new guys.
Yes.
New guys in the blog. And now in the studio, those two with LQ, the host of the game, Gold Quizmaster Alex Geronimo. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I mean, Tony.
Hey, forget about it.
And the guys, hello, Paul and Mark. Remember, answer in the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing a clip-on tie suit by Mr. Guy.
You ain't wearing no clip-on tie. You lie to your audience. You don't have a clip-on tie.
Call me Alex and Loser playing the game. And then it's LQ and Quizmaster. And always call him, well, either Tony Soprano or...
You call me T.
Jim Gandolfini.
Well, that would be all right, too. But I'm here right now, okay?
All right,
you
guys.
Call on another flag whenever you want them.
Here are your categories, guys, and they are.
Yeah.
Name that no longer existent XFL team.
Boy, you get complicated when we go to school here. What's this stuff?
You like this one. Name that Tony.
Hey, there we're talking. There we go. That's good stuff.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Look at this.
Knick-knack. Anyway.
Give us all your bones.
New on home video/DVD.
I got videos curly hair.
And states and capitals.
In fact, they have a lot of curly hair in them. There you go, you know.
Four.
One more time, guys.
Yeah.
Here's your category. Name that no longer existent XFL team.
Hey, you'd be making my brain hurt on that one.
Name that Tony.
Hey, good best category on the board.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Ooh, new on DVD home video.
DVD, yeah.
And states and capitals.
Hey, educational.
And let's see, Paul, we will start with you.
Good luck, Paulie.
Okay, states and capitals.
All right, for one, here you go. It is the capital of the great state of Boston.
Irv.
You reversed them, didn't you? I know that.
Yeah, I did.
The capital of Massachusetts, you said Boston.
I did. I'll have to go with an alternative here.
Go with one on the fly. I got one. Hey, come on. Can I do one?
Yeah. How about the state we're in right now?
Yeah, okay. What's the capital of Maine?
Bismarck. What is Bismarck?
That Bismarck? I knew that. God, what the hell school do you go? What the hell's wrong with that?
Bismarck.
Hey, mortgage, your chance to steal.
What is Augusta?
That's right.
Augusta.
$1, you're on the board. Way to go. It's Augusta. I knew that. I studied hard in school.
Bismarck, this is the capital of North Dakota.
Right.
Or a popular pancake mix.
That's right. Bismarck.
Oh, it's Bisquick.
Bisquick. I use Bisquick all the time when I'm making pancakes in my room.
The states and capitals for two. It is the capital of the great state of Louisiana.
All right, Paul, your chance to get back on the board. Come on, Paulie.
Odds and ends.
Hey, what are you doing?
Guys.
Come on, now. You're playing the game the right way, Paulie.
Okay.
Jesus.
Go ahead. I'll try.
No, you're out of... You lost it.
No, it's
okay.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right, and Mark, you're in control. So let's
right.
Play the game right.
States
play
and
the game right.
Three.
Come on.
States and
hey, come on. Now, listen, we can't talk and you talk at the same time, for Christ's sake.
Just pick a question.
States and capitals for three.
Yeah, this is
okay, good. Bismarck. Jesus. Bismarcky would have been a better answer than the rap star.
All right, yeah, my name is Humpty.
Okay, here we go. States and capitals for three. It is the capital of the great state of Vermont.
Dude.
I'll wait.
Montpelier?
That was not in the form of the question.
All right, Paulie, here's a big softball for you. Your chance to steal. Hello.
I'm blank.
You shummed it. He just
can't
hear the answer. Ooh. Hey, Paulie.
Yeah?
You just had the answer.
Hey, Paulie, you know how to play the game?
Yeah, I do.
Well, what are you doing? Paulie.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm talking to you.
Yes, sir.
You know what I think we're doing, Tony?
Yeah.
I think, you know how sometimes, like, on Jeopardy, they have College Week?
Yeah.
And on Millionaire, they have the Celebrity Week?
Yeah.
I think we're doing the All Retard Week.
Retard. Yeah, Retard Week. All right. All right, that means, hey, Mark, you're in control again, all right?
All right, I'll take new on video for one.
New on home video, DVD for
don't
one.
You take a tone with me, Mark.
I'm not taking a tone with you, Tony.
All right, you behave yourself.
Okay,
for one.
Jim.
It's Tony.
It's Tony.
Well, you said Jim Gonapini.
I tell you, Jim wouldn't have a problem with you.
But right? Tony does.
Tony's got a big problem.
All right, Tony.
Home DVD, video, stars Mel Gibson.
Another Man or something like that. What is Another Man?
God damn, this guy's stupid.
Unbelievable. You got to put them in the form of a question or I'll break your legs.
All right, Paul, it's your chance to steal.
What is a man without a face?
No. Where did we get these guys from?
I don't know where these guys. I don't know what these guys.
No, a little movie called What Women Want.
And Mark, you're in control.
Okay, new on video for two, please.
You'll never get this one. Stars Kevin Spacey.
Nope.
Co-stars Helen Hunt.
Nope.
About a guy with a bad face who's a school teacher with the kid from The Sixth Sense.
I have no clue.
Hey, Paul, it's your chance to steal, Paul.
The man without a face.
You know, do we have the two dumbest guys in the history of the world? No, it's a movie called Pay It Forward.
And Mark, you're in control.
We want video for three, please.
These guys will never get this one. Why am I wasting my time?
I don't know, man. Sometimes it's exasperating. I'll tell you, I feel that way when I leave my crew.
Stars Jeffrey Rush. Hey, will it help if I say he spells his name like Jeffrey from Toys R Us?
Geoffrey. Hey, Paul, it's your chance to steal.
I'm just not a movie buff.
Not a movie buff. Yes, I got it.
Yes.
What is Quills?
Yeah, now, you must be a fag. You know that movie.
Yeah, I'm not a fag. What are you talking about? I like the movie. I like Jeffrey Rush. I like the one where he plays the piano.
All right.
Okay, Mark, you're in control.
All right, let's go odds and ends for one, please.
Odds and ends. Okay, here we go. Does anybody have any money in this game yet?
Mark's got $1. Mark Denny's got $1. He's got a book.
All right, here we go.
There's a book.
Reality tour entrepreneur and longtime annoying Don and Mike guest. He is running for mayor of New York City.
What is...
It would be who is.
Who is...
Hey, Paulie, it's your chance to steal out there in Wichita, you think?
Okay, delete that out.
Yeah.
You dickhead. You absolute dickhead. Now, did you delete that out, Lisa? I hope you did. No, it's Kenny Kramer.
Hey, Mark, you're in control.
Okay, odds and ends for two, please.
Chuck Norris TV show finally canceled by CBS.
What is Texas Lone Ranger?
No.
Jesus.
Oh.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going crazy.
What is it,
guys? What was the screening process? Are you a male? Okay, Paul, your chance to steal.
What is Walker, Texas Ranger?
Whoa! My God, we got one. $2.
Really?
$2 for Paul. Way to go.
Finally, I feel like I'm going to have to do this with a $100 question on Millionaire when they ask Ben Stiller, in the country America, what does green on a stoplight mean?
Unbelievable. Okay, Paul, you're in control. Select again.
Odds and ends.
You'll never get this. Space tourist. He paid $20 million to ride into space last week. Don't toy with me.
The little guy.
What
is the little guy?
The little guy. Hey, that was funny, at least. Hey, Mark, your chance to steal.
I have no clue.
Sure is not. Dennis Tito is the man's name.
Hey, Paul, you're still in control.
Let's try odds and ends.
We are done with that.
Oh, okay. Name that Tony.
Name that Tony.
I don't get this. This is driving me nuts right here. I wish I could reach the phone.
Okay, name that Tony. You better get this one. He's married to Carm.
Say it again, please.
No. Hey, Mark, your chance to steal.
Well, I didn't hear the question. Repeat, please.
He's married to Carm.
No clue.
You don't know who's married to Carm?
No, I don't know who's
married. You don't know who's married to Carm?
No, I don't.
His name is Tony.
Tony
Soprano.
Tony Carm. I don't watch The Sopranos.
Oh, you don't watch The Sopranos.
No.
Okay, that's good. So that people don't go to the movies, don't watch The Sopranos, but they listen to our show.
Another.
That's right. What the hell are you calling to play a game for? All right, Paul, you're in control.
Do we have to do a new category? Let's try the name.
No, you have to.
Tony
listen,
for two.
Listen, thank you.
You
was half of TV's Odd Couple.
Let's try have the names that no longer exist in the XFL.
But you know what?
What?
Hey, just hang up on both of these.
You're gone. You're both
right
gone. You're two idiots. No.
Hang up on both of them right now. Just get me two new people. I don't care who they are.
Unbelievable.
Just plunk down two phone lines right now, Lisa.
Absolutely. This is unacceptable.
We've only got 5 questions left.
We're going to do it on the fly. We're going to make it work like that.
God damn, those guys were stupid.
It's starting to piss me off. You know that? They're pissing me off.
Hello.
I'm trying to come in here. I come in here once in a while.
Hey, Don and Mike Show. Who's this? Go to the phone, please, Lisa. Hello. Who's this?
Hello?
What's your name?
Jason,
congratulations, you're playing. Where are you calling from?
Modesto.
Great, Jason from Modesto. Lisa, punch another line, please.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Who is this, please?
Steve.
Steve, where are you from?
I'm from D.C.
All right, Steve, you're playing also, okay?
We're going to start with a clean slate. Both of them got zero, both of them in their cars, which is really good luck.
Okay, Jason. Jason,
yes,
you're going to pick it up right here. He was half of TV's Odd Couple.
Oh, who was Tony Randall?
$1 for you. What was the dollar value?
That was two.
$2.
You know what? That says to me that the other guy, it wasn't the question.
No.
It was the other guy.
It was the other guy. $2 right off the phone. There we go.
Go again, please.
Who was Tony for three?
Okay, name that Tony for three. She was half of the Captain and Tennille.
Who was Tony Tennille?
$3 for you. Way to go. You got $5. Just put it to the other guys. A lot of applause.
Combined.
Look at this with a guy just off the telephone.
Jason from Modesto is kicking a little ass. Select again, Jason. What's the last category?
Name that no longer existent XFL team.
All right.
For one.
Take it.
XFL team.
Take it for one. The Los Angeles.
Oh. I don't have a clue.
You know, that's all right.
Steve from D.C., a chance to steal.
What is the L.A. Extreme? You know what? Look at this. Look at this. We got two guys that are both going to final low-budget Jeopardy. How about that?
$1 for Steve. Select again, Steve. Go ahead. For two.
Here you go. XFL for two. The Orlando...
what is the Orlando Rage?
Where were you guys when we started this game when we had questions like Mel Gibson, what women won?
All right, Steve, for three, you can take the lead if you get this one right.
Okay.
For three, right. Go ahead.
Go for three.
He's
all
losing right. that part of it.
Okay.
The Memphis...
who are the Memphis Maniacs?
He got it.
$3, way to go, Steve.
He nailed it. He nailed it. He aced it.
You take the lead. They got them all right. All the questions were answered correctly at the end.
So we got rid of the two dumb douchebags.
That's right.
We pick up two total strangers on the telephone.
Fantastic.
And now we're going to final low-budget Jeopardy with these guys, Jason from California and Steve from D.C.
Steve finishes with $6. We got Jason over here with $5. I'm really impressed with these guys right off the phone on the fly.
Guys, I just want to say something. Thank you. You saved this bit for us, both of you.
Fantastic.
Jason and Steve, now please hold on. Lisa's got to get your information so we can send you your prizes. And then when we come back, we'll play Final Low Budget Jeopardy right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
I want you to know that I appreciate you looking out for Bobby.
Bobby, what are you kidding me? A huge help with my uncle.
That one don't need any help. They found his jail on the medical. It makes me laugh. Your uncle. That's right. We're talking about you, you cagey fuck.
Huh?
America's premier sex jesters, Don and Mike.
You know, we're in Portland, Maine right now doing the show from WPAM.
Portland, Maine, I'm a KGF.
Which has been one of our longest running affiliates. We want to thank them for sticking with the show through the bad times when they ran it, when everybody wanted us out of town.
Yeah, whatever.
Now we got great ratings up here. No, come on, I'm giving them some love.
Yeah. Forget about it.
And we got the Las Vegas style show tonight.
Oh, yeah, big shots, yeah.
At the State Theater. And Tony, before we play Final Love at your Jeopardy.
Yeah, no problem at all.
If you could settle one Sopranos question for us.
Yeah, I said only question one. Yeah, go ahead.
Is Uncle June a bisexual?
What?
Does Uncle June take it both ways?
I mean, take it like ass?
Yeah.
Well, you thought, what kind of crap is that? What you spring that on me for?
That's a valid question.
We have a nice conversation, a commercial break, and I say, is Uncle June, does it go both ways? No, he's a man.
Is he bisexual?
He's a bisexual. Come on. What are you talking about, bisexual? I guess a bisexual right now. I'm going to get a bat.
Okay.
I'm going to get a big fat bat.
All right, give me these two new guys back on the telephone.
I'll give you a Louisville Slugger supposedly.
Jason and Stevie. You know, that's very gay.
Yeah.
To give me a Louis Slugger suppository?
Well, no, I was just saying, you know, that's a violent thing. It's power.
Right. Do you look Johnny Sack?
Hey, what's up? What? You talk about that Johnny Sack. You're forbidden to say the word sack in my presence. You don't say the word sack to me anymore. You
why?
I don't want you talking about the
sack
bag.
The quarterback.
Hey, sack the quarterback. I know what you're talking about.
Sacramento, California.
You're talking about the peaches.
Sack of groceries.
You're talking about my peaches. Is
right.
You're talking about my beanbag with the hairs.
You ever look Paulie's Walnut?
No, that came from that big-headed guy.
No, that one came from him.
You got some serious problems, my friend.
No, we're buddies.
I got buddies for
I'm
you.
A friend of yours.
I'll give you the positive stories.
Okay, give me
your brain as the show on.
give me Jason and Steve. Guys, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, beautiful. Guys, we want to thank you for saving this game today.
Yeah, you pulled it out of your ass. Way to go. Good job.
Here we go with Final Low Budget Jeopardy, and here's your category.
It's the ass word again.
14 years ago today. On this date in 1987.
Wow, this is a complicated one.
Tom Cruise married this actress. Hint, it's not Nicole Kidman.
Whoa!
All right, 14 years ago today on this date, 1987, Tom Cruise married this actress. Here's a hint. She's not Nicole Kidman. Yeah. Guys, don't forget to answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy receive my new cookbook, the whole tray. Featuring my favorite foods from my favorite episodes of The Sopranos. You'll get AJ Ziti, Polly Walnuts Menagogue, Carmella's Sushi, and it's one of my favorites. Line up for this one, guys, okay?
Okay.
Meadows Yeast Rolls.
Oh.
Not to mention that. Big Pussy's muscles and Uncle June's wrinkled crab balls. Get the book and let's see. Forget about it. Now back to Final Little Bunch of Jeopardy with Alex DeMai Geronimo. All right.
Thank you, Tony. Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. You got a question? Go ahead.
You ever read Artie Bucco's Duco?
You know, you're laughing too much over there. You got a problem. Both of you got a serious problem. You're talking about Artie Bucco's Duco. You're talking about that, you know, it's all with the bubble, you guys, right there. Yeah, a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
Who only had the 22.
Oh. Tony, who do I want to talk to first?
The little person on the totem pole is...
Jason?
Jason, yeah.
All right, Jason, 14 years ago today, Tom Cruise married this piece of ass actress. Hint, it's not Nicole Kidman.
Who's Michelle Pfeiffer?
No.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Jason. You did a good job. Hey, Steve.
Now, Steve, you're the big wiener if you have the right answer. Steve?
Oh, no, he's gone like the wind.
Did we just lose him?
Like the wind by the bing. He's gone. Oh, no. Who wants to play?
I've got his answer here, though.
You got his answer?
Because Charlie got the answer from Lisa. And
call him back, Lisa. All right, Stevie dial tone.
Call him back.
All right. He's got the answer. We're going to try to get him on the air with it, okay? You got another question over there?
No,
yeah.
No, Rob just wrote one. It doesn't even rhyme.
It sort of rhymes.
What about the Janice anus?
Janice is my sister.
That doesn't even rhyme.
I don't go near her anus.
Okay, just checking.
Janice anus.
Her heinous anus.
No. She's got a heinous anus.
No, you know, the two highlights there were, do you lick Polly's walnuts?
You know how much fat?
Artie Bucco, did you ever eat his Duco?
You know how much fat? You have to go through to get to that? To get that eye?
Oh, that eye.
That brown Janice eye.
Do we have Steve on the line?
Tell you, she flashed that eye at the Russians, she wouldn't have gotten the crap beat out of it.
Hey, is Steve there?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Jason's from Modesto, but he had the wrong answer, so he doesn't win the money. He's going to get prizes, but we got to wait for Steve. Come on, what's going on?
Everybody's screwing us on this contest today.
I tell you what's going on. The people drive me crazy right now. You're talking about Janice's anus. You know, this is just funny talking about Janice's anus.
You ever eat Rich? You ever eat Richie's Ditchy?
Richie's Ditchy. Richie Abreu?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know where he is. You're both going to end up where he is, okay?
Oh, no.
Bottom of a hole somewhere. I don't mind telling you right now.
Hey, Lisa, you got this guy Steve or not?
No?
Well, I'm going to tell you. It's on my card.
I ate Christopher's blisters.
So, Charlie, do we believe this? That he gave this answer to Lisa?
That is correct.
He had the answer, which is right. It is... Mimi Rogers.
Hey, Stevie Dialto, that means you're a low-budget Jeopardy champion.
We got him? All right, put him on. Put him on. Where the hell was he? Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Don.
Steve, yes. Congratulations. You had the right answer.
Oh, thank you.
I tell you, it sounds like he's talking to us from an oil drum right now.
My Jason phone went dead.
Steve, you are the big wiener and Jason. Jason, don't go away mad. Just go away. Steve, you get the money. Jason, you get the prizes. You both saved our asses. There's the word again.
Ass. It's always ass with you.
By helping us out. Now, here's Tony Soprano to tell you about your money and your gifts. Tony.
First of all, Stevie W. scored $12. We're throwing a $25 bonus for a total of $37. Congratulations. And, hey, Jason, here are your prizes. You want to hear them?
Yes, absolutely.
You want to pull my Finger Volume 2 CD. To order this CD, visit the website, www.pullmyfinger.com. But wait.
There's more.
You want a Soprano Spice Bag.
All right.
Don't miss the Sopranos this Sunday night at 10 p.m. only on HBO. Soundtrack is in stores now. And hey, I'm going to bring in Jim Gandolfini for the last prize here.
All right, come on in, Jim.
Hey, Jim, come on over here. You've won a 7-Eleven car care kit. That includes a commemorative 52-ounce NASCAR Extreme Gulp mug, $20 7-Eleven value, plus prepaid phone card and much more. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Congratulations. Right. Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you, guys. Jason, Steve, thank you. Really helped us out, though, with those two morons we had on the line. Thank you. We'll talk to you later, guys.
Yeah, that was
great. All right, thanks, Don.
Have a great weekend. And Tony?
Thanks, fellas.
Hey, Tony?
Oh, you want Tony back?
Yeah, Tony?
Tony. Yeah,
You ever want to get to Joey's pants? Joey Pants?
All the questions with you, all the fag with you. You know, I tell you, you got disturbances. You got some serious disturbances. You gotta go see Dr. Melfi.
Want to thank Tony. Also want to thank Jim for coming in.
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming in.
And Tony, always remember, never forget that low budget Jeopardy is
a production of Coron Incorporated, distributed by King World. Go ahead, ask another one of your fag questions.
Olivia's labia.
That's what you are.
Your
all
dead
right.
mother.
Yeah.
And Tony, don't forget.
Yeah, check out my vish ass as I walk out of the room.
There he goes. Wow. Tony and Jim.
They walked out hand in hand.
Oh, wow. And thank God for the other two guys who called in to help us with the Jeopardy game.
Yes, they did a fine job.
Because those first two guys we had...
That's an accident. I mean, that really doesn't happen most times. That is a real accident.
I got these questions. They are not. It's academic.
No, not at all.
What do I do? I read USA Today and I pick the easiest stories and I just say, "Gee, what?" You know, the icing on the cake was we're playing the game with Tony Soprano.
Right.
The category is Name That Tony, and the first question is, he is married to Carm.
When that one was failed, we had some serious problems.
Yep. All right. Well, glad those other guys could help us out. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Steve. And now...
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden...
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
And Buzz, the lead story has to be, whenever we go on remote, we get the news on time.
How right? about that?
Is that the lead?
That is big news. But okay. No, everybody's talking about this. Tim McVeigh gets a 30-day delay. You didn't know that?
I obviously, you see me move my jaw.
Your jaw hit the floor.
Jaw
drops.
And what does that mean? Murphy doesn't have to go to Terre Haute next week?
Not till June 11th.
Oh, Christ.
Yes, it's been delayed for
a month. Great. Why not just call off Christmas? I'm serious. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
Coming
up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word with Planet Cresta?
They live by the ass and die by the ass. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Time for the news and the comments with Buzz, brought to you tonight by GolfRealm.com.
All right.
Why drive your home course to enter scores when you can keep track of your handicap free online at GolfRealm.com? I got to tell you, just had the most fun I've ever had.
This was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
As you walk down the hall, we explained that this radio station, WZAN, is owned by a conglomerate. Mm-hmm. And there are 8 different radio stations in this building, and they are all automated.
Uh-huh.
I found the control room for the country station.
I think it's WPOR.
101 point something FM.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing commercials.
Right.
And I just opened the microphone during the commercials and I said...
First thing he said was, how you doing?
And then I said, that once I figured out I was on the air,
right,
you could just turn the microphone on and go on the air, I said... Hey, to hear something really good, turn on the Don and Mike Show at WZAN 970 right now.
Video graffiti.
And meanwhile, what was the guy from the station doing while he was doing
that? I asked
him.
I got him in the hallway, and I wanted him to go into the other studio so I could bring you up on the monitor and listen to the air signal, because you killed the audio feed in the studio every time you opened the mic, and so I went into the next room to make sure you were going on the air, man.
Well, what did he say?
He was cool about it. He was laughing, too. He was laughing. Absolutely. It was funny.
That's great.
It is.
That's one nice part about small market radio. What's effed up is that they have 8 stations
right.
with no disc jockeys.
It's pretty weird.
That is all computerized.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
I mean, I'm sitting in there reading that they're going to play Shania Twain going into Alan Jackson.
Yeah, and I think they go into a room and they record their
the voice tracks
like, you know, for 8 different radio stations.
Right. Well, anyway, we've harped on that before. Now here is our friend live and in person, Guy Burley, star of The Buzz Show. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna. Mike. Well, it's official. The execution of Timothy McVeigh has been postponed 30 days.
Now, is Dennis's plane ticket refundable?
I don't know.
You know, we had gone to a great time and a limited expense.
Yes.
To get him a press credential.
Right. You have to wait and see.
To get him a hotel room. To get him a dinner reservation. Mm-hmm. Because Dennis was going to go to Terre Haute to cover the McVeigh execution for us next week.
Right.
That's right. Thank you, Rob. We have to notify his hooker.
Yeah. Because the hooker was going to have, dinner with Dennis. And now everything's got to be moved a month.
Right.
All these arrangements.
Well, I frankly, Buzz, seriously,
yes.
I find it hard to believe
mm-hmm.
that this argument held up.
Nobody is going to find this guy innocent, that's for sure. Attorney General John Ashcroft made the announcement after the FBI revealed that it failed to turn over to McVeigh's lawyers thousands of documents from the investigation. Friends and family of the victims, of course, are outraged at the delay, as are you. We don't yet know what McVeigh's lawyers will do with this foul-up.
You're outraged, aren't you, Don?
Oh, I'm so pissed, Mike. No, listen, I really am.
Right? You're outraged.
I am out. It's outrageous.
You are so angry.
I am so angry. Hey, Bob on. My knob.
Go, Bob. On my knob. Ass munch.
Yes, I'm very upset.
If it's any consolation, McVeigh has in the past waived his various avenues of appeal. A lot of people naturally hoping he'll do the same this time. The new execution date, unless something else happens, is June 11th.
Great. What's next? Hey, everybody, guess what? Christmas is going to be on January 25th.
Oh,
Christ, talk about ruining a national holiday.
I know. It would have been a special day.
A Los Angeles TV station quotes police as saying that Robert Blake is the main focus of the investigation into his wife's murder.
I hate to say I told you so.
He is now reportedly considered a prime suspect.
Remember Monday when we called the LAPD? I told them I had cracked the case.
Maybe that
died. She died so young and so pretty.
24 detectives swarmed upon Blake's house the other night for a second search of the place. A helicopter hovered overhead. There was talk of seizing a vehicle. The police say the second search was the result of additional information received by the detective.
You know, I want a copyright on Monday when I said he's the white O.J.
You got your props for
that. He is the white O.J.
I think what it is, though, is that he put a hit on her. I think he contracted to kill her.
No, I still maintain he did it.
I would be willing to make a wager that that will be the result. From what I have read today.
What would you like to wager?
I don't know.
I'm not going to wager my head being...
No, we've got enough of that. You know, a $50 bet.
Oh, you are on.
$50 bet.
You are on.
Well, police have questioned Blake twice so far, and his lawyer delivered several boxes to police headquarters yesterday of some of her belongings, some luggage, and some letters. Police say no one, including Blake, has been ruled out as a suspect.
Right, he did it. I told you Monday.
Now, just a few doors down from our studio in New York, there was a bloodbath last night. Five people were shot in the head in an apartment over the famous Carnegie Deli on 8th Avenue.
Ken Stevens wasn't even there at the time, was he?
I don't think so.
Wow. That's too bad.
Three of the victims died in the accident.
I mean, that's too bad that other people died.
Yeah, it's too
bad that Ken Stevens wasn't there and wasn't killed.
Of course, right. It was in Ken's apartment.
Three of the victims died in the execution-style killing, which was apparently the result of a drug deal gone bad. Police say they found a grisly scene, blood and brain matter splattered on the walls and the floor of the upstairs apartment.
Sure, it just wasn't the service was slow?
It happened. No, this is upstairs. This is an apartment, not in the restaurant itself.
You sure it wasn't they brought him the wrong sandwich?
My pastrami tastes a little coppery.
Maybe like you had ordered a turkey and they kept bringing you roast beef over and over,
perhaps the toaster was broken.
Naturally.
It happened about the time we ended yesterday's show, 7:30 Eastern. Police say the building security cameras got pictures of the suspects. Tourists inside the deli say they enjoyed the police activity.
Of course they did. They're tourists.
Quoting one diner, "We love New York. We had a great time."
Oh, no, God. You know the motto at the Carnegie Deli?
What's that?
Today's courses are tomorrow's ground beef.
Oh, God.
Buzz, hold on. We got to squeeze a break in here. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show. God freaking damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Somebody from the Portland station was just telling me here in the hallways that tonight is a rare night because they haven't cut us off early for the dumb minor league all-girls softball team, whatever it is that they normally preempt.
Very good. That's good stuff.
So they're running the whole show tonight. We will be down at the State Theater in downtown Portland within the hour.
Yes.
To start the Las Vegas-style show. Let's get right back to the Buzz Show.
And
not the Buzz Show we got on the airplane today. The real Buzz Show.
It's a different show. The university that inspired the movie Animal House is once again scrutinizing one of its fraternities.
Faber.
Prestigious Dartmouth in Hanover, New Hampshire has targeted the Zeta Psi fraternity for a newsletter it's published. The newsletter featured provocative photos of women the frat brothers claim are their sex partners.
Knowledge is good.
It features intimate detail about what the women supposedly do in bed and rates them as loose, dirty, or a guaranteed hookup.
Holy
Hey!
Nike!
The newsletter promotes that it will publish guaranteed date rape techniques in its next issue.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Blutarsky, 0.00.
Won't be in next issue, of course. In fact, the scandal could mean the end of the entire Greek system at Dartmouth. That doesn't set well with the students. Quoting one, I came to this school for the fraternities.
The issue here. Here's one of the students right now. I believe he's a young freshman.
Open wide and swallow my spunk.
Boy, very young.
See, there's the problem. Here's a meeting of the minds. The Dalai Lama and Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura.
Hey, Lama.
Truth is, he did Don and Mike proud yesterday when he met with the spiritual leader that millions consider the reincarnation of Buddha.
Which one made us proud, the governor or the Dalai?
The governor did. So what did Jesse ask the Dalai Lama? He asked him if he'd ever seen the movie Caddyshack.
Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
No, I have not.
It's so funny, they talk about you, the Lama.
In the movie, Bill Murray's character talks about caddying for the Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama laughed at the question, but said no.
Oh, you're funny.
Not seen the movie.
Gunga Gadunga.
Please, Mr. Ventura,
yes.
Sing Hello Dolly to me.
Hello Dolly. Dalai Lama. It's great. I think you'd like it. You really would like Caddyshack. Mr. Lama.
Lama.
Yeah, whatever.
I am the Dalai Lama.
Let's go fishing.
I am just a man, flesh and bone.
You are the Dalai Lama.
I am a me so horny.
Yeah, take those robes off, Lama.
Well, the best reality show may prove to be the war between the networks. Fox is now accusing CBS of rigging Survivor. As you may remember, CBS is suing Fox over Boot Camp, claiming it's a direct ripoff of Survivor. This week, Fox answered that lawsuit by accusing CBS of rigging the contestant voting on Survivor. Lawyers called this the unclean hands defense. Courts do not reward wrongdoers. Fox
based. They should call that the Don defense. Because I still don't wash my hands a lot. That's why you're number one.
Well, I tell you, you don't want to use the paper towels at this facility.
Oh, my God.
We had a bleeder.
Mike and I were just in the men's room doing our business.
Right. With each other.
And, we got done with our sword fight.
Yes.
And Mike was washing his hands. I go to wash my hands. Mike is by the paper towel dispenser, and he jumps back, and he says, oh, my God, look at this. And there is some kind of bloody crustacean that someone has left in the where you dispose the paper towels.
The wastebasket was filled with bloody paper towels. We had a bleeder in the building.
Oh, something serious.
And yes, if you're wondering, we break all the rules when we go in there. We cross the streams and everything.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah,
when we go in there.
It's like Spirograph.
Fox bases its accusation on the lawsuit against Survivor by former contestant Stacey Stillman. When contacted about the Fox lawsuit response, a CBS spokesman said their answer has about as much credibility as a Rick Rockwell background check.
Stacey Stillborn. good chance on that defense.
Is Tony Soprano ready to take the money and run?
Yes.
James Gandolfini says he's ready to leave the show.
I'm very tired.
Because of the violence.
Oh, you know what this is? This is called, hey, my contract is up,
right.
And I'm not really happy only making $10 million a year.
I'm very, very tired.
He tells a British paper he's likely to leave The Sopranos after next season.
Yeah.
Quoting him, I want to get away from the violence because it is starting to bother me.
Right, and me and Mike are leaving this show right after we get done with this broadcast today because, frankly, all of the profanity is getting to us.
I'm tired of the violence.
I'm sorry.
James Gandolfini finished.
He admits that Tony's a funny guy and a good father, but quoting Gandolfini, he killed his best friend. I can't believe it when people ask me to come talk to their kindergarten class about Tony. I say, are you watching the show? It may be a moot point. There's talk Tony's character may not make it to next season.
Ooh. You know what this is? Gandolfini. He is just a... This is contract talk.
Ah.
This is a guy who is up for negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Please. And he knows... And the thing is, he's got him by the balls because he's the show.
Sure. Absolutely.
If you lose Tony Soprano, you don't have a Soprano.
That show is done.
Right. So give him whatever money he wants. He doesn't care about the violence.
Say the guy.
He who talks to squirrels, Paul McCartney, says his late wife, Linda, was a fine musician who played a key part in the success of the group Wings.
Balls retarded.
Linda McCartney confessed she was unable to play a musical instrument when she first joined the group. We also have that tape of her singing bad harmony on an isolated microphone during a live show.
Yeah, when did she learn to play? When?
But McCartney says she quickly learned to play keyboards and harmonize beautifully.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul's high.
Quoting him, Michael Jackson even requested that Linda play keyboards on one of our collaborations, and Michael Jackson isn't stupid.
Beat it!
End quote.
Yeah, oh, and also Michael Jackson wanted to sleep with our children. She's great with crackers and nuts in her mouth now.
Mm.
She's a squirrel.
Mm.
Well, the kids who tried to copy a TV commercial hoping to get on MTV's Jackass have been sentenced to no TV. A judge in Kentucky has ordered the teens to stay away from television for 6 months except for the evening news. He ordered them each to read 12 classic novels and to turn in a book report every 2 weeks. And he ordered them to do up to 100 hours of community service each. He also took away their driver's licenses for a year. Two boys tried to video one another trying to jump over a moving car like they saw in a shoe commercial. The commercial, which used special effects the boys didn't have access to,
dang,
has since been pulled.
Okay.
It's one of London's most famous landmarks, the National Gallery at Trafalgar Square. And it's crumbling because of all the urine.
Mm-hmm.
At night, drunken guys waiting for buses have been relieving themselves against the historical building. Now, officials in London say they will pepper the area with open-air urinals.
There you go. I wish they had those all over the place.
Like the ones they use in Amsterdam.
Like they do.
Oh, do they really?
They do. They just don't have signs here.
They were planning to do this open-air urinal thing later this year, but they saw the building is deteriorating so quickly, they now hope to have the urinals in by July. And one of the kids in the Elmwood Junior High yearbook is a little overexposed. Officials at the school in Rogers, Arkansas, say one of the boys unzipped his pants just before a group photo was snapped.
Wow.
Good for him.
That's right. Too late to touch up the photo. The book has already gone home with the kids. But it's not too late to punish the ninth grader who whipped it out. Officials say they'll try to keep this from happening in the future, but they want us to know that they can't look at every single yearbook picture with a magnifying glass.
I guess he was left holding the bag, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, thank you, Buzz, for the news and the comments. And now it's time for a call 100 and a prize package selected especially for you. Good luck. Be the 100th caller. Be assertive at 877-365-3636.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
I think we ought to have a few words from the late Ed Sullivan. Well, I did want to deliver a few words. You. You bald-headed bastard. You made your last appearance on CBS TV.
Tasting simply of salt, the Don and Mike Show.
Let's go to Buzz. All right, all day I forgot to turn the microphones on one time.
One time.
One time I forgot. Hi, Buzz.
In sports, Charles Barkley says he'll move in with Michael Jordan for a month of serious training before they decide whether to play again.
You bet.
Hey.
Barkley tells a Los Angeles paper he'll move into Chicago with Michael after he finishes his broadcasting duties with TNT.
Duties.
It may be a long, long time before somebody starts another alternative football league. Wrestling guru Vince McMahon has pulled the plug on the XFL due to an overwhelming lack of interest.
When you said alternative football league, makes me think of the GFL. The gay football league. And the HFL, the homo football league.
269. 269. Hike.
Wait, just stay right there.
The league lasted just one season and lost $35 million. What really killed the league was lack of TV ratings. NBC, which also lost a lot of money on the league, could take it no more. And yesterday, even humble UPN said no thanks.
Really humble? That equals the UPN sucks and even they said no thanks?
Even they said no.
Gotcha.
A labor rights group says the Salvadoran factories where NBA jerseys are made are sweatshops. The National Labor Committee for Human Rights says the folks who make the NBA jerseys get 29 cents an hour to make shirts that sell for $140.
Yeah, that's double the Kathy Lee rate.
Mm-hmm. The group says the workers are forced into overtime in unsafe and abusive conditions. The NBA says it will investigate. And finally, Diana Ross O'Reilly isn't very happy about her Happy Meal. She's suing McDonald's for nearly $14 million.
Here we go.
The suburban New York woman claims she bit into a Happy Meal burger last summer and found a bloody Band-Aid.
he loves these. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening at home, Buzz loves these stories more than any stories he has.
Hey, we love them too, though.
We do too.
Her lawyer says she's had to be treated by a psychologist for what he calls, and I quote, one of the worst nightmares somebody could have.
Yeah, she must have gotten a Happy Meal at the bathroom at WZAN.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That last story that you just had about the basketball jerseys, where were they being made?
In Salvador.
Mel Salvador?
Mel Salvador.
Mel Salvador.
Oh, I like Texas, old Mel Paso. Great Mexican food, too.
Listen, that's it. We've got to go. We do want to thank all of the wonderful people at WZAN for being so nice. We will see everybody tonight at the State Theater in Portland for our live Las Vegas-style show and back at home on Monday.
Right.
Lisa, fire off the touchstone, please. They call 1-800. Don't forget the mental hospital. Melview. I hate this place.
It doesn't work here.
Nothing works here.
When in Philadelphia, you got to stop by the Liberty Mill.
That's a good one.
And don't forget his food joint. Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. Right. Absolutely.
Hey, what's your name? Hello?
1-800.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa, take the music out of audition. So I can hear this guy. Hello?
I am caller 100.
Yeah, that's good. Hi, what's your name, please?
Hey.
Hi, where are you from?
I am from Laurel, Maryland.
My friend, you're the 100th caller, and you have won the Sopranos prize pack. Don't miss the Sopranos Sunday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO Soundtrack. In stores now. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Have a great show tonight.
You have a great weekend, and thank you, my friend. Listen, that's it. We got to go. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Love you. Frida, love you, Bart. Don't hurt yourselves. Have a great Mother's Day.
Nobody's got any luggage back at the hotel, right? Then we won't have to get a Melman. I'm sorry.
Not to be confused with Larry Bud Beltman. Right?
Or a Melhawk.
Okay, that's it. We will see you Monday. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And now, Ron, please throw the hat in the air like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You might just make it after
all.
Thanks again to everybody at WZAN in Portland. We'll see you at the show tonight. Full report on Monday. And let's hope Ted the Dog Catcher is there tonight.
Absolutely.
See you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis here, just saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.